Developing now, one of the most disturbing and upsetting stories that we've covered in a long time.
It's a horrific crime in Northwest Albuquerque, and it happened yesterday. And we want to warn you, the details are very graphic.
Friends, family, and neighbors are struggling to understand what and why this happened. A tragic scene police sources describe as gruesome.
What happened to this little girl? It's horrific.
She was always laughing and smiling. Everybody loved her.
If there's one thing people will remember about 10-year-old Victoria Martins, it was her smile.
Oh, she loved everything. And we took them to Hamas. Oh, my God, we played in the creek. And she walked across the log. She loved a picnic.
Nina Willenberg says the little girl was full of life and happiness.
It's just so very, very hard. It's just such a difficult thing.
Victoria's babysitter, Jessica Quintana, was in the crowd on Thursday night.
I don't even believe it either. She's...
Only a kid herself. Quintana was with Victoria just days before she died, talking about the big new school year. As a 10-year-old.
Now, before we start the show this morning, Steve-O, why don't you give us a little prayer before we kick things off?
Well, Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the opportunity we have to serve you. I pray that our words would be edifying to you above all else, that in this city, in this time of tragedy, that... you would bring your peace, your comfort, and though we don't have the answers, we know you do. So I just pray that you would wrap us up with you today as we talk about this somehow with a city that is grieving, a community that is grieving, with a country that is grieving as this news hits national airwaves. I just pray that you would somehow be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Man, yeah, you don't know how bad I wanted to just drive home. I went to the gas station this morning, and I was ready to send you guys a text and say,
right.
Hey, you guys can handle this, right?
Well, yesterday we couldn't, three of us fathers. And for those that don't know, for those that have not already heard, maybe you podcast to somewhere else in the nation.
You live somewhere else.
Maybe you hadn't heard about what happened here in Albuquerque, but last night, actually, there was a vigil at the apartment complex close to where Teo and I both live. Mm-hmm. Very close, actually. A 10-year-old girl who had just had her 10th birthday. She was getting ready to celebrate it. They were supposed to do manicures, pedicures, rock cake, and do what 10-year-olds do for their birthday. And instead, she was drugged, she was raped, and she was murdered. And praise God that everyone involved is captured. There's nobody on the loose. That the nightmare of trying to know, find out who did it, you know, there's no mystery there. So her own mother, her mom's boyfriend, and his cousin are all in custody. And it's one of those things that no matter how many details come out, because details keep coming out, like more answers don't seem to calm anybody down. Albuquerque Mayor Barry said, quote, "You can't paint this in any other way other than this is pure evil," end quote. As I mentioned, there was a vigil last night at the Arroyo Villas apartment complex where she lived. And, man, it's crazy. Mm. She went to Petroglyph Elementary School. She is the same age as Luke. And it's...
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's been hard ever since the news broke. I'm just speechless. I don't really have any words. And like yesterday before the show, I just tried to avoid it because I saw it and just cried my eyes out. And then I was thinking, you know, we're here to entertain and make people laugh.
Right.
And so I was thinking, man, I don't want to do that. And so we didn't talk about it yesterday, but then many of you reached out and wanted us to talk about it.
There's a lot of Christians, and I say this, I say Christians for this reason, so please let me finish. If you don't believe in Jesus, if you're not a Christian, but you just love the show, and you still listen, right on, man, we love you. But I'm pointing this specifically at Christians, because there was a lot of Christian friends of mine yesterday who were caught up in this conundrum, this like... I had a conversation with a really good friend of mine last night. He's also a parent. He came over, and we were both trying to process because he has daughters, and it's you know, judge not, lest you be by the measure that you condemn others. That's how you will be condemned. We are called to somehow give the humans over that did this to God and his wrath and his vengeance and his justice, because ultimately those three people are still human beings. They still are a soul. And it's hard for me to even say, like I'm trying to keep going and saying God loves them, but I'm like, how? Yeah. How, dude?
You don't want to say that.
Freaking
right
how?
You don't
because
want to.
We know it's like here's where Christians, here's where God's word has to like put its money where its mouth is. The idea that like, well, it's all equal at the foot of the cross, right? Like we go, dude, you're never too far gone, and sin is sin, and then you see this, and it's like,
yeah,
oh. Bleep no, man. Like, yeah. It's like, how? Like, so our humanity steps in and we're like, oh my gosh. And you just got to like try and take a backseat to God and go, Lord, man, do something. You know, like David prayed that God would melt his enemy's teeth. And, you know, I wanted to pray these horrific prayers, honestly, because, you know, everybody's saying it like, man, I just want them to blast what those people did in the prison system, and you know, like
the same thing that they did to her should happen.
Yes, man.
Yeah,
It's awful. And so, like, we couldn't talk about it yesterday because it's just so heavy. But at the same time, there's an entire community, there's an entire city, and now a nation just grieving and asking questions, and we do have to. We do have to just stare at the face of God and pray that he will intercede on the behalf of a grieving city, you know? Because so many people have, as you said, chimed in going, hey, man, why? As if God just kind of like idly stood by, you know? There was a grief counselor who I guess was her godmother, who is a minister, who said, you know, I'm a grief counselor and I don't have the words right now, you know? And
she was going to pick her up right after school so they could go get their nails done. Mm-hmm.
If you don't know the details, I don't recommend reading them because they won't do anything good. Because as more details come out, I just get angrier and angrier and more confused and...
My wife and kids still don't know about it because they don't really watch the news. My wife and I don't watch the news when we get home, and my wife is not really an online person.
Yeah,
she's not on Facebook or Twitter, and so she doesn't know. And I couldn't talk about it. I didn't know how to talk to my kids about it.
It was tough. I'll tell you what. On the flip side, I have done nothing but talk to my children about it.
Yeah.
Because God gives us his spirit, and there's this thing called discernment. And I'm like, guys, I don't care if it's 3 o'clock in the morning and you're staying at your best friend's house. If you got this weird check going on, you freaking call me. You know, like, yeah. I will never be upset with you yeah. ever, 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 because like we've got to. It sucks, man, because as a parent, you just wonder how a mother could even endanger her child in a way of putting her in the same apartment.
That's what I'm trying to wrap my head around. Everybody's yeah. trying to wrap their head around that. When I went to her Facebook page, the mom's Facebook page, and you scroll down and you see pictures that she's posted, she's holding her daughter in some pictures, and she's smiling, her daughter's smiling, and you... It's just so confusing. What happened? But I know drugs can literally steal our soul. I mean, mm-hmm. they can take away who we are. I mean, as a person.
Well, here's what's crazy is technically that's incorrect, because they can take our being, they can take our mind, they can take our body, but still that soul belongs to God. And so while they're still breathing oxygen, they have the opportunity to receive Jesus. They have the same opportunity, and it's hard for me because I am all of a sudden self-righteous as if I don't sin, right? Mm-hmm. But it's yeah,
it's hard. We're having a hard time wrapping our heads around it,
but we wanted to open it up. You know, the live line is open, obviously. 585-5483. It's 585 live. Las Vegas, New Mexico, they held a vigil last night. They set up balloons, you know, for her. They wrote little things and then they released them into the air. There was a vigil last night here in Albuquerque at the apartment complex where this 10-year-old girl was murdered.
And there's a birthday party tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for saw that.
It's from 2 to 8 at Mariposa Basin Park.
Okay.
If you guys want to go out there and be a part of that, anybody can go.
There was a second vigil at the Civic Plaza last night about 8 p.m., and apparently it was just packed. An entire community is just like at a loss, you know, and this is a time where we who have that hope within us can at least say, you know what, we are all mourning too. Mm-hmm. Because unfortunately, there are going to be those that say, how could if there is a God, if there is a loving God, how could he allow this?
Yep.
And it's tragic, man. Mm-hmm. But it's not the first time something like this has happened. It's rocked so close to us because, well, man, for me, I have a 10-year-old. I have a child the same exact age. We're parents. But, I mean, you take a look back at America's Most Wanted, Adam Walsh, you know? I mean, that child was brutally murdered and decapitated and left in a dumpster. That was in what, the 70s? Mm-hmm. You know, so it's like, obviously, it's not something new. Well, you take a look at Scripture and you see these things that happen throughout history, and it's like...
Think about it. It was just months ago that other little girl was kidnapped on the reservation.
I know.
And look at what happened to her.
Yeah.
I know.
338-3700 if you'd like to call us. Good morning. Thank you.
Thanks for holding.
Yeah, 585 live. You can text the show. Maybe you have questions.
Yeah.
We don't... We might not have the answer. I mean...
We're not going to have any.
Oh, answers. No. But it is an opportunity, because I'll tell you what, being able to just talk last night with another parent, another friend of mine, I don't want to say validated my feelings, because we're all like dealing with this. Mm-hmm. You know, we're all dealing with it. As I mentioned, for those of us that are Christians, dealing with the idea of like, God, okay, you got this. And obviously, it's one of those times where we just have to go, man, this is why you're God and I'm not. Mm-hmm. This is why it is about your love, your grace, your mercy, but your justice and your vengeance. Because I also think of the scriptures where Christ talks about how, man, these little ones, let these little ones come. And it, you know, you harm, man, it would be better if you tied a millstone around your neck and threw yourself into the deepest ocean than harm the hair of one of these little ones right mm-hmm. here, you know? And so, obviously, Christ himself said, you don't mess with the little ones, man. And when you see that, it's just, ugh.
Yeah, it's an opportunity for us to remind you that, like Steve-O said before, when he was talking to his kids, you have to train your kids, and you have to be on alert as a parent. If you feel like something isn't right, you have to check it out. To call somebody.
Yep.
Call the authorities, or you check it out, or don't do it.
Yeah.
You know, follow your gut.
My 10-year-old, he was staying at his best friend's house. It was a couple weekends ago. We talked about this on the air, I think. And they were having fun, remember, and FaceTiming at like 1 o'clock in the morning. And I actually had texted him at that time because he was FaceTiming me, but the first one wasn't connecting. And I texted right back and said, "Hey, are you okay? Do you need me to come get you?" You know, so I pointed back to that situation and said, "Luke, do you remember when this happened? This is why, you know, you are my child. I will protect you to my death, you know? And so if you're ever in a situation that you feel uncomfortable, I don't care if it's a teacher, if it's a family member, if it's a friend, if it's a pastor, I don't care who they are, what title they have, and who they think they are. Mm-hmm. You never be afraid to tell me that something is wrong, even if it's just a gut feeling, man, you know, because that is called discernment. That is what... that is the Holy Spirit within you telling you something is off. That is your spidey sense, bro. Mm-hmm. So we have to somehow use this.
Yep. Hey, thanks for calling. Good morning.
Morning. Hi.
Hi.
How are you? I just wanted to call because I completely agree with everything you're saying, and I felt like obligated to give you guys a call. Well, like you said, you know, just like, if you're a parent, if you feel like, if you have this off sense, you have to, like, check into it. And, well, the off sense with me was actually my daughter's dad. He had a really hard life. He was, like, raped by his dad and molested by his sister. And I never really talk about it with people because it's, like, so bad, you know? Mm-hmm. And I got away when I found out I was pregnant. And he said he wanted to go in the military and he was worried that he was going to be just like his dad. And it's like that's how much I loved her when I didn't even meet her yet. So yeah. It's like horrible to think that someone could harm their child like that.
Yeah,
it is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you for calling us. Hang in there, okay?
I will. I know like not many people have called, I'm sure, just because it's like really hard to talk about
what can
really be said, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thank you so much for calling.
Thank you.
Yeah, somebody else chimed in on the live and said, "I appreciate you talking about this morning. I can't talk about it. I just cry." Mm. I think that's everybody, man.
Yeah. Yeah.
Especially
a mother. This was her daughter.
Yeah.
This was her little girl, a little princess. What? And so many people are asking questions. Where was the father at? You know, why... if this woman was like this, what was the daughter doing with the mother? And so there's all these questions we want answered, but we don't know. We don't understand it. Didn't she have a brother? She had a little brother?
Oh, man.
Because I saw another little boy in some of those pictures.
I don't know.
It was heartbreaking.
If you're just joining us, if you somehow don't know, because we actually got a text on the live one saying, "Wait, what happened? What did I miss?" Mm. In Albuquerque, 2 evenings ago, a 10-year-old girl who had just had her 10th birthday. She was so excited that she was turning double digits, her best friend said. She was drugged. She was raped. She was brutally killed. The suspects, her own mother, her mom's boyfriend, and his cousin are all in jail. They've all been arrested. Dude, $1 million cash-only bond. Mm. I mean, they are not going anywhere.
No,
so that if there's this, the one thing, I was watching, Sheriff, was it Eden? I want to say Sheriff Eden. He was giving the press conference yesterday, and you can tell how greatly this rocks everyone. Obviously, Mayor Barry spoke about it. The fact that this is just pure evil, he said. There's no other way to paint it. And then you talk about how they're taking their time in this investigation on purpose because they want every possible minute detail that they can get so that they can in turn prosecute to the fullest extent of the law. Mm-hmm.
And that's why we have it in place.
Yeah.
You know, that's one thing I do think we can be thankful for, is that they're exactly that. Like, they're as much as law enforcement and our justice system gets crap, the one thing that is happening right now is we are seeing it go into full effect.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
And that's something, one little thing to be thankful for. I know we're all angry and everybody's confused, rightfully so.
Yeah.
This is one of those things where it's really hard to understand what happened from a human perspective. You know, like, okay, where, why, what, you know, somebody emailed us on the live line or texted us, and I saw this quote too, like a little kid asked somebody, you know, why didn't God protect her? And that's exactly it's funny that it came from a kid, but that's the exact same question that's on every single Christian's mind in this situation.
Yeah.
Whether they admit it or not is, dang, what happened?
Yeah. We want to be able to help this morning. Our friend Roxy, she is the director of the children's ministry here at Calvary Albuquerque.
Yeah.
She gave us a great resource. So this morning, definitely want to go over this. A Christian counselor after the Sandy Hook tragedy happened, which was horrendous.
Yeah.
Gave us ways to help children through trauma, because a lot of children, as you're saying, are asking questions,
big
man.
Big questions.
Big questions. Yep. And so, yeah, man, we have a blast and we love making people laugh. But there are times where, obviously, scripture talks about like a time to laugh. There's a time to cry. And right now, this city is crying. We are all weeping because it's just horrific.
Yeah.
And so we want to be able to be available as well. If you have questions, maybe you just need to know how to talk to your kids about it. Maybe you just need to know how to process it yourself.
Yeah.
We want to be here.
338-3700. Thanks for holding.
What's up, guys?
Hey,
pool boy.
Yeah, man. I got a 14-year-old daughter, dude. I couldn't even...
Yeah, it's tough.
I couldn't even imagine, dude. And, like, I really don't even know what's going on. I turned it on, like, around 6:15. And I'm super protective, you know? Mm-hmm. And, man, my prayers are with the family, man. And,
yeah.
It's just crazy. And then for kids to ask questions like that, you know, that's even tougher, you know? How do you not?
Yeah.
But I'm just glad you guys are talking about it. You know, it kind of brings everybody down to the ground, you know?
Yeah.
And just... that, you know, it's just that we live in a world full of just evil, man.
Yeah.
There's evil everywhere, you know, you can't escape it, and you got to do what you can for your kids to allow them to become an adult and make good choices when they're older. And, yeah, man, this is sad, guys.
Yeah.
Thanks for calling us, buddy. Hang in.
Love you, man.
Yeah, man.
Love
you guys, man.
Don't forget, there's a birthday party for Victoria tomorrow between 2 and 8 p.m. Mariposa Basin Park, 4900 Kachina Street Northwest. If you guys want to go and just be there, take a gift, whatever. You know, this is a time for us as a community to come together.
Yeah.
And mourn.
Hey, as we talk about practical advice, we just got an anonymous chime in. From a friend saying, as we're talking about all this, it's important for parents to relate that their children should be honest and it's not the kid's fault. Mm-hmm. I had an older relative molest and rape me several times when I was little, and I always thought it was my fault. Mm. By God's grace, he was caught, and I've overcome the thought that it's my fault, but still has had lasting effects even today. Kids need to know that they can be honest and it's not their fault.
Yeah. And they're not going to get shamed.
They're not going to get shamed. They're not going to be in trouble
for something some dirtbag grown-up is doing. Another thing I want to talk about, too, because this was very, very drug-related.
Yep.
And maybe you're listening out there and you're struggling with that kind of stuff. We're not going to shame you or anything like that, but this could totally be a wake-up call in the lives of a lot of people, especially in this city. about what drugs can do to you if you let them have their way, because that is what happens.
Oh, yeah.
I highly doubt that if we could have talked to any of the three murderers a few years ago and told them what was going to happen, I doubt that they planned this.
Yeah.
But what happened is they got stuck in a cycle of addiction, and it got worse and worse and worse, and this is what comes of it. You know, like, they literally lost control of everything, and this is what happens. And if you're out there and you're struggling with it even just a little bit, this should be reason enough to stop, to rethink what's going on with you right now.
Yeah.
Because we view, like, in the culture that we live in, drugs are seen as this, like, sweet escape from the reality of life. But this is where that escape takes you, to the worst reality of life.
Yeah.
You know, there are real consequences to getting caught in that kind of addiction. And so maybe we can provide resources to that effect today, too. And again, not to shame you if you're struggling with this,
no,
but totally to say, hey, wake up call. Look what can happen to your life.
All right. You guys continue to text us, 585-LIVE. You can call us up at 338-3700. This morning, we're mourning with you.
Yeah.
Over the death of 10-year-old Victoria Martins. So we'll read some of your texts. We'll get your phone calls, and we'll do it next.
Hey, what's going on in the news today?
During a speech in Reno, Nevada, designed to go after Trump, Clinton telling her supporters Trump is embracing a racist movement known as the alternative right.
Donald Trump has built his campaign on prejudice and paranoia.
In New Hampshire, Trump firing back, saying Clinton
paints decent Americans.
You.
As racist.
Indiana's Governor Mike Pence taking time off the campaign trail today back in his home state after multiple tornadoes hit there.
Encouraging news on the job market. Fewer Americans filed for first-time unemployment benefits.
Big step toward automated highway travel, according to the government, is cars that talk to each other. That way, a robotic master plan of a kind can sort out the vehicles, avoid collisions, and even traffic jams. The experts say there's a problem, though. Such traffic systems will suck up a lot of available radio spectrum for cable TV and super-fast Wi-Fi, internet, and other services.
A crime so awful, so disturbing that police are having a difficult time just talking about it. This morning we are learning much more about the death of a girl who had just turned 10 years old. We too at KOAT7 are struggling with emotions to tell this story, so we do want to warn you that what you are about to hear is very disturbing.
Multiple sources tell Action 7 News that child had been mutilated. We're told this was the kind of crime that took a toll on even the most seasoned first responders.
Details are heartbreaking. We're told a little girl's 10th birthday was just yesterday. Friends and family had big plans to celebrate with her today after school.
I think that she was thinking, like, she's going to wake up to, like, a beautiful day, get off early from school, have her birthday. But yeah, today was supposed to be her birthday party around 3.
Today we're talking about the death of Victoria Martins, and it's really hard, and I don't want to.
Yeah. Well said, my friend.
I like that honesty.
Just going to be honest.
Ah!
I really don't want to.
Hey, we're here, though. And the phone lines / live line has been blowing up with people. And so, obviously, it's important for all of us to be able to talk about it, regardless of what we believe. In fact, on the live line, the latest we got was somebody saying, I love you guys. I'm not a Christian. And I think at times like this, it might be harder being a Christian because you have to find that rationalization. I think that's kind of true, because it is difficult in one regard where you just want to ask why, but in another regard, honestly, I mean, we're told that this is going to be difficult, right? Like, mm-hmm. Here on this earth, we're going to face things that are horrific. We're going to go through trials of various kinds. We're going to go through weeping and mourning, and we're going to go through struggles and battles. But we can take heart because we know that Jesus has overcome this. Mm-hmm. Jesus has already overcome this. He was laid bare. He was leveled by these Romans, by these Jews who strung him up on a cross thinking that they were doing this ultimate end to this one guy. Mm-hmm. When in turn, really, he spilt his blood He died, right? God watched his son murdered in a horrific way so that we could have eternal life with a God who does love us. Because there is a battle, because there is a spiritual war, because it's not just the quote good guys, there are bad guys. Like there is this dude named Lucifer, named Satan, who his job is to kill, steal and destroy. Mm-hmm. Like he is our enemy. He is a roaring lion, it says, and he roams around this earth seeking who he may devour. Like he is a bad freaking dude. And so partially it's like, I don't know about the rationalization. If anything, it just reminds us that there is wicked evil in this world. Mm-hmm. And this isn't it, thank God. Because the one solace I've had in this entire thing is that 10-year-old girl, Victoria, is no longer in danger from mm-hmm. her stupid mom.
Yeah.
From the drugs, from the situations that she was placed in, and Christ wrapped her up in his arms, mm-hmm. and she is in paradise.
Yeah, and then another thing too, rationalization, just to be clear, in psychology, it's a defense mechanism in which controversial behaviors or feelings or whatever are justified and explained in a seemingly rational or logical manner to avoid the true explanation.
Mm.
And so no one here is trying to justify the actions of the people involved.
Yeah.
I could see where you'd say that if you're like, now it's up to the Christian to justify God's involvement.
Right.
Or lack thereof.
Right.
In this. Then I understand.
Yeah.
And I think that's what it is.
Yeah.
You know, where's God now? That's what everybody asks.
Yeah. Well, the thing I think, ironically enough, if we delve into all of that, we have to start with the fact that there is an obvious evil in this situation.
Yes.
Whether you believe in God or not, you look at this situation, and the reason that it seems wrong, and the reason we get angry, no matter what we believe, is because there is an actual evil that has happened. An innocent girl was drugged and raped and murdered and dismembered and wrapped up in a blanket and set on fire in a bathtub. That's, if you know, like in this situation, it's like, well, we've got evidence of evil at the bottom of this. Mm. So now, when you get there, you're admitting the existence of, like, an outside force. And so then we have to pick up, what do we do in response to this force? You know, and then it's kind of like, is this good? Is this bad? And you can get into the whole,
right,
you know, philosophy and all that stuff. I don't really think we have to get into all that today.
Right.
But if anything, we've got an obvious evil here, and then no matter what we believe, Christian or not, we as people can make a decision now to try to effect some kind of change in this city, Amen. In our own, starting in our lives, our personal lives, and in this city. We can all work together to combat this very real evil that we have all seen. It's pretty intense.
Yeah, no, well, dude, well said.
Our friend Ricky
just
sent this to me, and he has a friend on Facebook named Ron, and Ron just posted this yesterday. He said, "Sad times. I was blessed to have known this little girl as we attended church with her and her little brother.
Mm.
My children were in the same Sunday school class with her. She was very sweet and always had a smile. God bless the child." If I was watching another news report of is that thing going off?
I think so.
Maybe we'll just wait then.
Okay, go ahead.
Are we live?
I think so.
Okay, good. I was watching the news, and there was a pastor out there speaking, and he was talking about how that little girl came and accepted Christ, you know, at a young age, and she loved coming to church.
Mm.
You know, she always had a smile. That's what everybody said. She had just this beautiful smile.
Somebody chimed in and said, when my kids asked me why this happened and why God didn't protect her, my response is that the devil resides here on this earth. This is why it's so important for us to teach our kids about the Lord, because evil is everywhere, trying to tempt us every day. on the flip side, for those of us, you know, dealing with the anger, there are a few people that chimed in instantaneously on this note and said, this is a direct attack towards our nation. Christians pray for the nation nonstop, and how many believers are filled with hatred. It's not easy. I'm angered. I want to hate too. I have a 10-year-old as well. We need to continue praying for this nation, as this is what the Lord has sent us to do. I don't want to get like, I feel like we could get into this like crazy rabbit hole of theology, right?
Which is, because I think that's a diversion.
It is a diversion. It really is. Because at this time, here's the thing. We want to have the words. And so sometimes we say these sweet things that just sound so good, mm-hmm. because they're comforting, but sometimes they're wrong. Sometimes those are actually wrong.
Yeah.
And it's difficult. It's very difficult. Man, somebody else in Albuquerque chimed in and said, in times like these, it's important to remember how easily hatred can grab a foothold in your life. I'll admit that my first reaction towards the people that did this was one of extreme hate. Mm-hmm. God calls us to love everyone equally, because we're all sinners and fall short of the glory of God. That does not mean there aren't earthly consequences for what has been done. So while we're all Absolutely. Trying to wrap our minds around it, I definitely want to point this out. Scripture talks about, in our anger, we have this call, in our anger, do not sin, right? In our anger, do not sin. The presupposition of that scripture is that there are times where we're going to be pissed. Mm-hmm. In our anger. That means you are angry, but don't sin. So yes, you, Christian, who is struggling with the idea of like anger, it is okay to be angry mm-hmm. at a horrific, tragic injustice. No, we shouldn't be filled with hatred to a point where we're like, I'm going to go murder those human beings myself, because we also know that vengeance is the Lord's. And that's in Romans 13. It talks about the authorities of this world, how there's no authority placed above us except appointed by God. We have seen Mayor Barry's response already saying, you know what? These people will be prosecuted to the full extent of the law. There, he's already talking with the governor. They want to reenact the death penalty in this state because of the four police officers who were murdered in the last 17 months, the multiple children who have been murdered in horrific ways in New Mexico recently. And so the governor and the mayor are already going, hey, we need to reinstitute the death penalty for extreme cases like this. And you know what? Okay. It's an earthly consequence for a horrific tragedy. What we can't do is to bottle it and just to, you know, go on the attack on these human beings and want to take care of that ourselves, because we know ultimately God wins.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And at the same time, too, we can't excuse it. And that's something that I don't want anybody to fall into, because it's very easy to just blame all of this on the devil and try to go about your day.
Yeah.
But these are decisions that real people made.
Yeah.
And we can take steps to educate ourselves and our children on how to not get ourselves into those situations where those decisions are even coming across our minds.
Yeah.
And so that's why I'm totally like, take this moment to really teach your kids about the effects of drugs and where that can take you.
Yeah.
I really believe if we could go back in time and talk to these people.
There's no way.
They didn't wake up and go,
you know what? One day I totally want to brutally murder a child. Yeah. You know, it's like, no one does that.
No one does. That's one thing we can all agree on and we can all take action with, is we can use this as a wake-up call for everyone. Mm-hmm. That's one of the best things about this city, is that when there are tragedies, and sadly there are too many tragedies in Albuquerque, but when that happens, you really see the city come together.
Dude, amen.
And we just got to keep pushing. I think that way, we got to use this as a truly, yeah. truly teachable moment and say, this is why you don't get involved with that stuff.
585 Live, you can text us or call us up 338-3700. Thanks for holding.
Yes, my name is Frank from Las Cruces. And,
hey, Frank.
And obviously, you know, my prayers go out to this beautiful young girl that suffered. And I have a 9-year-old daughter, of course. So, of course, this is that I have majority custody of, and, you know, I'm a very protective father. But, you know, a lot of times, you know, through different things that happened, such as, you know, that shooting where that young man killed all those children at the school, and
yeah.
You know, the same questions came up, you know, why did Jesus allow this to happen? But the reality is, you know, you guys are just, you know, on point on your responses, and I appreciate, again, I know people have expressed that your conversation, people want to shy talking about this, but we really do have to talk about this. But the reality is God blessed us with free will. You know, we had a choice. We have choices, and we can choose, you know, following his path, living for him, or we can choose to live for this world. And unfortunately, you know, in this world is such an evil place. You know, if we become part of it and it comes controlled, you know, the devil can get a hold of us. This world can get a hold of us, and things like this can happen. But we all have free will to make that choice, and people get affected by that free will by others. And it's unfortunate that happens. But you know, I think your response to everything you're saying is right on point. So what Jesus showed us to do in the horrific response to this world is to love, and I think that's what we have to do. Love our community, love our children, you know, and respond to what Jesus did to us and showed us in just a love. And I think that's what we have to respond, you know, at this point in time. You know, Steve-O, you mentioned, you know, Jesus, you know, wrapped his hands around, you know, his arms around, and now is loving her and away from the evilness in her life. And unfortunately, death is part of life, and we're all going to reach it. And we just hope that that happens to all of us. And you know, at that point in time, and that now we have this situation, and our response, I believe, is to love.
Thank you for calling. Appreciate you, buddy. 585 Live. Feel free to text us. Maybe you're out there listening right now. You're like us. We're trying to wrap our heads around it. We're trying to understand it, but we want to talk about it. And you know, there's hope. God gives us hope. It's the Bible. Pick it up. Read it. It's so tragic.
It is.
Yeah. There's just not a lot to say.
We had somebody on the live line chime in and say, hey, please pray for our first responders.
Yeah.
A lot of us are men of God fighting evil every day, yeah. And thank you for talking about this. Yeah, we had one of them chime in who asked for that very thing. We just want to make sure, because as I was watching yesterday, man, you could just see the sheriff or the chief of police. You could see the news anchors, everybody who's trying to talk about this. I mean, us now trying to wrap our minds around it and trying to relay the news, relay the information. Now imagine being one of the first responders, one of the people. Maybe they are part of the CSI type department where their job is now going in there, because they are meticulously going over that apartment. Mm. And if you go in and you start reading details, which I honestly don't recommend, because it doesn't do any good. There's no point. The fact of the matter is a 10-year-old was brutally murdered. I mean, it's like, hey, leave it there if you can, because if you read too deep into it, all it can do is fuel hate. I know this. And so imagine being one of those people who have to log every piece of evidence, who are currently combing that apartment, who are they can't clean up the blood. They have to document everything and seeing it and what that can do to a human being. So we definitely need to be praying for those who are still in the situation.
Just a reminder, tomorrow there's a birthday party for Victoria. It's from 2 to 8 p.m. at Mariposa Basin Park, 4900 Kachina Street Northwest, if you'd like to go out and show support. All right, we'll get to more of your text messages. Feel free to call us, 338-3700. Just give us about 10 minutes. We'll be back.
An emotional morning as family and neighbors woke up to news no one wants to hear. Minister Laura Bobbs says family members called her here saying her 10-year-old goddaughter was killed.
She turned 10 yesterday and we were going to celebrate her birthday today after school.
She planned to see the little girl after school and take her for mani-pedis. Bobbs recalled their last phone call last night.
And she says, Auntie? And I said, yeah. She said, I'm turning 10, so don't buy me no toys.
Police aren't releasing details or the girl's name until they notify all of her family, but friends describe her as happy and caring, a fun-loving 10-year-old who just started the fourth grade at Petroglyph Elementary School.
Oh, Jesus.
Bob's choked up thinking about the young girl who should have been here with them celebrating.
She loved people. She loved life.
A life taken much too soon.
God! Okay.
It's a tough morning. It really is. It's gonna be a rough next few days. This is the whole city, the nation is mourning right now over the loss of 10-year-old Victoria Martins, and we're heartbroken. And we want to talk about it. We want to discuss it. We want you to discuss it with us. Feel free to text us 585 live. Or you can call us up, 338-3700. First hour, we really, tried to wrap our heads around it. And, we came to two things. And that's drugs are just so awful. And I know some of you out there, me included, we've had friends and family members that have been affected by drug addiction, and it's awful. It is so awful. And also, this is a chance to be careful, to look at the signs when you see that something doesn't seem right. You have that feeling in your gut that something just doesn't seem right in this situation. Or maybe you're a child listening right now, and you need to tell somebody if something is not okay, if something bad has happened to you. This is a chance to speak out, a chance to go to somebody and tell them. You have to. So really, those are the two things we're discussing, is because other than that, we don't know why God didn't save her. We don't know. We don't know. We don't know why God sometimes intervenes and sometimes he doesn't.
Well, reading an article, because somebody did just chime in and ask that very question. I'm a Christian. I'm just really struggling with the question of where's God when these horrible things happen? How could he just let her suffer like that? I'm praying, but I'm getting nothing. I just need some sort of answer. If you guys could help me out, please. Those are dangerous questions in and of themselves. Where is God when these horrible things happen? How could he let her suffer like that? And we almost pinpoint it to God as if he is the blame. We're throwing it out there at the wrong person, if you will. Thinking about the question in and of itself, why does God allow people to suffer, isn't a question. It's a protest. It's almost like if you can just throw this to somebody else and say, well, where were you? How come you didn't A, B, and C? Can you imagine? Because for us, on this earthly timeline, in my 30-some years on this earth, we've seen some pretty horrific things. Now imagine God, who is on the throne, who throughout the entire history of the universe, right, has been there and seen man's free will. These beings that he created for his glory to do good things, right? And they choose themselves to tear themselves apart, to destroy their minds with drugs, to destroy their lives with sexual sin, to destroy other human beings with murder. And it's not as if he's just sitting there going, man, if only I could jump on the scene. If only I could. But there's so many forces at work, right? Like, we know ultimately God, you know, we don't want to get too deeply theological, but we know that God wins. God is on the throne, right? But there are also other forces at work, because you've got evil, you've got Satan, right, and his demons, and they are constantly roaming around seeking who they can destroy. They want to kill. They want to steal. They want to destroy your life, your marriage, your job, your whatever it is, your body. And then you've got yourself, which I know me, and I know my free will sucks, right? Like, I don't always make the right decision. I don't, man. And so we have all these things at play. And so to go, yeah, but where was God? It's almost like that cop-out scapegoat, but if I can just put it on God, then we don't have to deal with the fact that there is evil here in this world, that these humans who did this, I mean, we're kind of giving them the free and clear, right? They still acted out these horrible things. They still sinned. And that's the man. To even put it in those terms, like, oh, they sinned, you know, is, to me, it seems like a disservice. But that's, I mean, at the very base of it, that's what it is.
Yeah.
I mean, they lost their minds. And we've had so many people chiming in. Man, Tao this morning, if you're just joining us, Tao eloquently put it, talking about the issue of drugs. And we have had multiple people chime in talking about, saying, hey, Tao said this best. We need to spread the word about what drugs can do. I'm a recovering meth addict. I used for 14 years. I've been clean for 6. It's an evil, evil drug. You lose all consciousness of everything. All you care about is the next high. I've heard through meetings that the drugs today are so much worse with all the chemicals. I pray that we can somehow put an end to it. We had another friend say, man, when you are on meth, because he was an addict, when on meth, you don't even know where you are. You don't even understand. You can't discern the things that you're doing. And he said that when this mom comes off of this high, because she's probably, I mean, meth rocks your world for a couple days, right? When she comes off of this high and realizes the just the gravity, the weight of what she has done, he said, man, this mom may kill herself. Because imagine living with the weight of that. Yeah. Once you come out of that cloud and have a kind of, even just a basic understanding of what you have done.
338-3700, thank you for holding. Good morning.
Good morning. Yeah, man, I just wanted to say that, first of all, my heart's really sick, man. I'm blown away, and my heart just goes out to anybody and everybody that's kind of suffered behind this horrible tragedy. But I would say that one thing I wanted to make clear this morning is that you know, the greatest trick the devil ever pulled wasn't convincing the world that he didn't exist. It was convincing, you know, kids that illegal street narcotics are a good time. I mean, that's really it. You know, we're going to go out, we're going to have fun, we're going to get high, it's going to be amazing. It's not amazing. You know, it's hell to pay, and it's a slave to be, period. And this is just another category. And you know what's funny? It's just such an equal opportunity. If it doesn't care whether you're male, female, rich, poor, just doesn't care, you know? And it's hell to pay and a slave to be, and this is just another victim, you know? And I can tell you that when I look back to my life, my friends and my family, I mean, I can literally just look at my friends that have gone astray and that their lives have been torn apart and destroyed. And it always, the catalyst was illegal street narcotics, you know, drugs, street drugs. And so, it's just not a joke. And these are the places that it takes people. And I just wanted to say it again to any kid or parent that's listening, just to make sure to have that conversation, to not be scared to broach those topics, because, you know, or to that person in your life, you know, whether, you know, because it very well may be an adult, you know, and as weird as it sounds, it could be a 65-year-old grandparent struggling with an addiction. And you know, you just got to broach those topics and let him know, mm-hmm. you know, that you're aware of it and do your best to try to get him some help. Anyway, that's all I had to say.
Thanks. Appreciate it. Oh, talking about Victoria Martins this morning and the tragic death, and it's trying to talk about it. And Teo said this morning, maybe this is a wake-up call for you. Mm. Maybe you are listening right now, and you're in this abyss, this pit, and you feel like there is no hope, and you are addicted to whatever drug it is. Man, this is a wake-up call. There's help. There's mm-hmm. hope. Reach out to us. Be anonymous. We won't put you on the air. Just reach out to us. 585-LIVE. You can text us, and we'll put you in contact with the people that can help you. But it just takes that step, that first step. Good morning.
Hi, good morning. I think you guys have been spot on with everything you're saying, and I want to thank you for talking about it. I have a 4-year-old little girl, and this is just horrible. Horrible. And you guys were talking about, you know, educating your kids and making sure that, you know, your kids can come to you and all of that. And I kind of think that it goes a step further, because I remember when I was growing up, my best friend lived right down the street, and his family was like my family, and my family was his family, you know. The whole "it takes a village to raise a child" thing. I knew that I had a safe place at his house, and he knew he had a safe place at my house. And I think that, because obviously this little girl, I don't think she had a safe place. You know, I haven't heard anything about where her father is. And obviously her mother wasn't a safe place, and I don't think she knew. I mean, maybe she knew she had. I think that we just need to make sure that these innocent children know that there is a safe place for them to go.
Yeah.
Even if it's not at home, because sometimes they don't have a safe place at home, but there is a safe place somewhere, and we need to make that available and known to them. Mm-hmm. So that this doesn't happen.
Thank you for calling. We appreciate you.
Yeah, thank you for calling.
338-3700. Feel free to call us or text in 585-LIVE, 585-5483. Good morning. Turn that radio down, please.
What? Hello?
There you
hey.
Go.
Hey.
Good morning. Go ahead, man.
You're on.
Okay, good morning. So I just wanted to say that I was just kind of a little bit lost for words as to why the cops weren't called sooner. The walls are, like, papered in that apartment. And just, so, you know, is anybody really even asked about that? And goodbye.
All the details we have is what the news shares.
Yeah, we don't know if the people were home or whatever.
But that's why the cops were got to the scene, is because somebody had called.
Somebody called
and
over
they were finally desk. Called.
And we also have to realize that, you know, and it's part of the process. We all grieve differently, right? Yeah. So we ask different questions. So as we know, there are no stupid questions, if you will. Here's what we have the details of. A girl was shot up with meth, amphetamines, so that she would calm down, so that they could do whatever heinous things they wanted to do to her. So we don't know how, quote, loud it got in there. But we do know that at 4:30 a.m., the police were alerted to a domestic dispute, is what they thought. That's what they thought they were showing up to.
Mm-hmm.
What they got was something entirely different. So... But, I mean, I don't – well, I guess I just don't understand what that question was. Like, to the neighbors or to
– Yeah.
I don't know.
Thank you for calling. Good morning.
Good morning. Are you talking to me?
Yes.
Yeah. Totally.
Okay. Sorry. I just didn't know. So I just wanted to talk to you guys about this whole situation. This is really
bizarre, crazy. First of all, my granddaughter goes to the school, so we took the little girl balloons yesterday, and it was just heartbreaking to see, you know, roses and balloons at her school. But second of all, this week, Saturday, actually, of this week, my daughter-in-law called that she needed help moving out of her house. Now, on Friday, she was evicted from her house. So Saturday, I went and started helping her move out and started finding baggies of empty cocaine and straws of, in every open drawer I could find, every bag, everything I went through, there was straws and cocaine baggies, baggies after baggies after baggies. And I've been a born-again Christian for a long time, and God just kept telling me, just pray. Don't say a single word to her right now. Just pray. Just keep praying. Keep praying. And I was. I just kept praying and praying, and the Holy Spirit started working, and so Saturday, Sunday, Monday helped her move, clean this filth and everything that she's been living in for a year, and God had actually put it on my heart like 2 months ago. You need to go talk to your daughter-in-law. She separated from my son, but God kept putting it on my heart. You need to go talk to her. You need to go talk to her, and I kept avoiding it like Christians often do. When God's tugging on your heart, you're like, oh, later, Lord, later, later, later. Well, later came. You know, and now she's living with me, and she's been asleep since Tuesday. She's been wakes up to eat, and that's it. Goes right back to sleep. And the Holy Spirit and God is working in her in such an amazing way. But if I wasn't the hands and feet, and I didn't open my home and open my heart, and I was just like, oh, someone else's problem, someone else, oh, send her to this place, send her here. You know, people have told me, like, doesn't she need to go get help? No, she's right where God needs her right now, in a nice, safe home with love and patience, you know, and someone praying over her. I can't send her off and, oh, yeah, here's someone else's problem. This is my daughter, you know, and this is God's daughter, more than my daughter. I mean, she's not my blood. She married my son, but, you know, and this week she came downstairs and she's like, you know what, my soul needed this. And I was like, well, it's just everything that I've been praying. God is working. I'm praying, but God is working. He is doing, I mean, I'm being the hands and feet, the hard hands and feet, cleaning up after her and, you know, just watching her sleep. And then I'm taking care of my granddaughter on top of it because she can't even be a mom. And I'm just thinking, she's lived in that house for a year. And then she's trying to tell me, you know, I don't do it while your granddaughter is around. And I'm just like, yeah, I'm not really believing that, because in every pocket, every drawer, everything I found, and in one little pouch, I was like, why is she saving this? But there was at least 50 wrappers of cocaine, and I don't know if she's buying $10
or $50. Can I just stop you for a second? Can I stop you just for a second? Do you have children?
I have a 29-year-old son, and I have a 14-year-old son.
Okay, well, I love what you said. Your heart is, oh, I love it. Here's what I want to say, though. I've been down this road before with a family member. We've invited a drug-addicted family member into our home a long time ago. Same thing. We felt God calling us to open up our doors. My wife and I opened up our doors to a family member who we loved. And she was in the same boat, it sounds like, as your daughter-in-law, and she wanted to be clean, and she loved us for helping her. But what's the next step? Because this is an addiction. This is something that you probably, I don't know if you understand. I've never been an addict. I know I've had friends and family members that have, but it's something that it's different for everybody. And when we found out after a week or two, from this person that they were back on drugs and that they were bringing drugs in the house, and we have kids, it was, sorry, but you're out of here. I mean, you can't allow it, and there has to be that next step. You just can't say, you're going to come live with me, and I'm going to take care of you, because that's not how it works. That's not how addiction works. You want to, of course, you want to keep them there, and you want to help them, and you want to love them, but there's got to be that next step. That person needs help. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Well, I feel like that's what she's doing.
She is. Yeah, she is helping.
But what's the next step?
There will just come a time where you need to get her
that addiction
into
is too much for
some
her.
Professional help.
Yeah, she's going to want to leave the house at some point. Yeah. That addiction is so strong, she's going to go and possibly use again. Maybe she won't. Maybe some people have this 180 and they never go back to drugs again. Sometimes they hit that rock bottom and they never go back.
Yeah.
Everybody has a different story. but be careful. I just want you to be very careful.
Yeah, I think it's beautiful what you've done because you are definitely highlighting how we as Christians are all called to be the hands and the feet.
Yes.
We are all meant, just like our buddy Dave Dobson was here the other day.
Yep.
And the most powerful message of his life is that you can do a simple thing and you are a part of a giant movement of God. You're just a part and you're a step. But we have to remember, too, that we're not always the end of the process.
Don't be a stepping stone, if you will. I mean, that's what you could end up being, is somebody that is going to use you.
Yeah.
You know, because in addiction, when you're addicted, you are so selfish. It's all about you.
Yeah.
And lies.
Well, I think it's all about the high. I think it's all about the drug and the high.
Totally.
Yeah, and you're right. So it is. Yeah, it is. And you know, my son, you know, who's, like I said, he's separated from his wife now, and he's been the first to warn me, Mom, watch out. She's going to hurt you. She's going to use you. She's going to this. And, you know, and I'm almost 50, so it's not my first walk in the park. And I know that there will be boundaries. And, you know, right now, like I said, she's lost everything, her home, her business, her car. You know, and so she doesn't have anywhere to go. She doesn't have anywhere, and I live way out here at Timbuktu, thank Lord.
Mm-hmm.
She's, you know, that I don't think anyone's going to be delivering any drugs, and she doesn't have any money right now either, which is the other wonderful thing, is that she does need sleep and she does need rest. And then when all this stuff wears off, because she's been doing this, you know, strong cocaine for, I would say, at least the very minimum is a year. You know, it's probably been much longer, but the least I know about is a year, and it's very, you know, I mean, I'm thinking, you know, it's probably been $100 a day addiction or maybe more, you know, for all I know. She makes pretty good money with what she does. But, when I was 25, my brother died, and I had been offered drugs for years and years and years, and never, I was like, no, afraid to do them, afraid. And when I was 25, I actually did. I did methamphetamines for about three or four months, and it did. It robbed me in those 3 months. And I wasn't doing it every day. It was every, like, weekend when my son would go to his dad's. And I was doing it on weekends. And you don't know day, night. You don't know up from down. It really is, and I'm sure it's probably way stronger and crazier, you know, 24 years, 25 years since I've done it. But it was bad then. You know, didn't sleep for 3 days, didn't eat for 3 days. And finally, one day, I looked in the mirror. I went to eat after not eating for 3 days, and I made myself a grilled cheese sandwich, and I couldn't even chew a grilled cheese sandwich because my jaw hurt so bad from just grinding my mouth. And I went to take a shower, and I looked at myself, and I was just bones. I was just skin and bones, and I was like, what are you doing to yourself? I went to one recovery meeting. God spoke to my heart, and I walked outside, and I was actually in the elevator, and I heard that song, I can see clearly now, the rain is gone. And I walked outside, and I never turned back. I just never made the phone call to talk to any of those people again. Something in the Holy Spirit just really, you know, really powerful took over, and I never had a desire to go back, to do another burning line up my nose, to smoke anymore, well, burning stuff, to stay awake for 3 more days.
Listen, thank you so much.
I love your heart. You're doing what God is telling you to do, and... But just be very careful. That's all I want to say.
Be vigilant. I mean, but I think that that's a fine line. Thank you so much for the call.
Thank you for calling.
Thank you. It is a fine line, though, because, you know, you hear the story, and it's like, it was the mom and the boyfriend and the cousin, and then you're like, I am never opening my home to anybody. But that's not the Christian response either. That's why his Holy Spirit resides within us, right? Jesus said, like, hey, man, I'm going to have to leave you for a time, but it's better that I go because we're sending you somebody better, man. Holy Spirit, he's going to dwell within you. So us as believers, we have God's Spirit dwelling within us. And if we are in tune with him, if we are actually like walking according to the Spirit and not of the flesh, then we're hearing the Holy Spirit.
Right.
And his Spirit is directing and guiding our steps. And if the Holy Spirit told this mother-in-law, hey, you take her in, who gives a blank what anybody else, including her own son, says, like, oh, she's going to use you, she's going to abuse you, because that's what the world's going to do as well. And we are called to be the hands and feet. We do have to take care of them. But we also need to be vigilant. We need to be wise as serpents and innocent as doves, it says, right? So we still need to use wisdom and caution, if you will, but we shouldn't stop helping people.
Not at all.
No. And I know that's not what you're saying.
No, not at all.
But I do think with drug addiction, because I have dealt with it, man, in my own life, there is a time period when you are coming off of an addiction or a high or whatever it is, if she's getting cleaned up, her mind is not right now anyways, and so she does need professional help. But there has got to be like, all right, man, let's lock you in this room, and you are going to throw up a bunch, and it's going to be awful and difficult and hard, but you're just going to keep drinking water, and I'm just going to keep holding your hair, and we're going to deal with this for a few days, because until you're it's out of your system, you can't even begin to think about the next step.
Yeah.
You know? So.
Like, and that's kind of what I was trying to convey is, and going off what you said, Dex, don't be a stepping stone to further the addiction.
Exactly.
But be a stepping stone to get that person out. And there will come a time when you have to take that person to the professionals.
Yeah. And that's what somebody just chimed in and said, my mom was addicted to heroin. When we lost everything, my uncle let us in. My mom snuck out eventually, got arrested, had to go into rehab, and has now been clean for over 20 years. Rehab is the key. Drug addicts will always find a way to get their high no matter what. So
everybody is different. You know?
Yeah.
Everybody's different when it comes to using drugs. Everybody's going to have a different reaction to the addiction.
Yeah.
And so you can't just say, this is what you need to do, because it just doesn't work that way.
But you got to do something.
Mm-hmm.
Got to do something.
Thanks for calling. Good morning.
Good morning. I'd be remiss if I didn't mention, I think you're right, Dex, and I think in a lot of cases, maybe not all cases, because, I know a guy really well that just set it down and walked away from it after 15 years, but I think that's probably pretty rare.
Yeah.
I think there, I know for a fact that there's a program in Santa Fe, New Mexico, which is federally funded. So you can call, and usually it takes about 2 weeks to get in. But you meet with a doctor.
Yeah.
And when you're detoxing, your body goes through such symptoms that it can kill you.
Yeah.
So it's really important that you get a sound evaluation. So she's got this girl at her house on the couch. She's doing the right thing. She's got a great heart, dude. I mean, that's amazing.
Yeah.
But I think that it's important that she does know, and I know she's listening, that there can be effects inside a body despite the mind, physical effects of the abuse from the narcotics that they can kill you when you're detoxing. So it's important to have that. And then for the mind side, there are counselors that have dedicated 20, 30 years of their lives to being able to help these people walk out of the spaces they're in that consistently cause them to use drugs.
Yeah.
And so those resources are available, and I think it's really important to reach out and try to utilize them, if at all possible. And one other thing I wanted to mention, it's weird to me that people that sell drugs, the purveyors of street narcotics, think that they're not the ones, well, they're going to get it from somewhere, that they're not complicit.
Mm-hmm.
In the suffering and the damage created on the other side of the people that use these narcotics. And I want to just, anybody who's listening, if you know someone who does it or if you sell drugs, these are the kinds of things you're also responsible for.
Yeah.
It's not a victimless crime selling drugs.
Yeah.
These are the kinds of things that go on after somebody ingests these narcotics. Now, these are the kinds of things that actually happen, and hopefully that would be the catalyst to get somebody to put that down as well.
Thanks for calling in again.
Love you too.
585 Live. Feel free to text us or call us up 338-3700. This morning we are talking about the tragic death of 10-year-old Victoria Martins. And just a reminder, there's a birthday party tomorrow set up for her between 2 and 8 p.m. at Mariposa Basin Park. It's at 4900 Kachina Street Northwest. If you guys want to go down, show support. Because ever since this happened, we've all been trying to wrap our heads around it. Mm-hmm. We've all been angry and confused, and our hearts are broken.
Just at a loss.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so we're talking about it. We want you to share your thoughts. Maybe you have questions. We're doing our best to answer them the best we can, but sometimes we just don't have the answer.
It's true.
Go ahead,
Dan. Oh, I didn't answer the phone. I was breathing.
Good morning.
Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
It's the wire guy. How are you?
Hey.
I just want to thank you guys for just your approach on this. I missed Teo's stuff this morning before I got in the car. But I was able to hear Steve-O's and just grateful for your guys' wisdom and just your approach to this, that it could be godless in its circumstance and lack of hope, lack of Jesus. I just want to commend you guys. I want to say this, though, that, man, I last night I had found out through my wife. I leave early in the morning, like you guys do, and I get most of my news literally through the internet. So, yeah. And I kind of stay away from local news.
Yeah.
And found out from my wife last night as we were laying in bed, and it was like 10:30. Man, I didn't even know what to do. I stayed awake for another 2 hours just trying to find the words.
Yeah. It's unbelievable.
It is, man.
I'm a dad. Yeah.
It's all right, man.
I'm a dad of three. And I couldn't imagine.
Yeah.
Yep.
What I would do to somebody if they would have done this to my own children. And I understand that's not the right response.
Yeah.
And I have a buddy who's a pastor, and he quoted Matthew 19 and verse 14. He said that, "Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them. For to such belongs the kingdom of heaven." And he followed that up with, "God have mercy." And, man, I have to confess that wasn't my prayer last night.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I just find it.
We're losing you, buddy. We're losing you, man. But hey, hang in there, man. Thank you for your words. We love you, man. Gosh, we all feel.
Yeah.
Most of us feel the exact same way. And
a lot of people have been saying the same thing that I mean, we said this in the 6 o'clock hour. That these are the same prayers. The wonder, not only of like the where is God, but like the righteous anger of wanting to do harm. A lot of us who have children who can't fathom harming any child, let alone your own blood. For those that are just joining us, because we still have people going, wait, what happened? Victoria Martin's 10-year-old girl. She was drugged, she was raped, she was murdered in an apartment complex near to where Teo and I both live. Mm-hmm. It's shaken this entire community. It's gotten people asking a lot of questions. It's got a lot of people questioning a lot of things. And to the wire guy, because I know, man, as a dad of three myself, you have those prayers, and I think we have to look back in Scripture and see the times where you've got Job wishing he were never born. You've got Jeremiah questioning his existence. You've got all of these examples, and you've got this one dude that I always like to point back to. His name is Jesus, and he came here, and he didn't have a place to hang his head, and he was a dude acquainted with grief and sorrows, right? Like, he had a really rough go, you know? And I think a lot of times we forget that our Savior, our God, didn't have this lavish penthouse lifestyle, that he was homeless and he wandered around with 12 dudes that he loved and proclaimed, man, the greatness of his Father. And he was faced with the very real future that he had to lay down his life. He was going to willingly lay down his life for us people who spit on him, who cursed him, who hate him, who don't even recognize him as God, who, man, know him but choose to live out their own lives in their own way. And he still said, not my will, but yours be done, right? So then he goes to the cross, and I think there's something that we all point to, because we're all going, why? And we're all angry, and we're all praying these interesting prayers. So Jesus on the cross said something very interesting. He said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And we always wonder, well, what was that all about? And it's become like, you know, not to get too deeply theological, but when he was hanging on this cross, you know, absorbing the sin of the entire world, including the sin that was committed against that 10-year-old girl, he absorbing all of that, suffering horrendously, he essentially prayed Psalm 22. That's what it is. It's from Psalm 22. And quoting essentially the first line of it in Hebrew, my God, why hast thou forsaken me, was basically referring to the entire psalm. So I wanted to read that real quick, because Jesus said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And it says, far from my deliverance are the words of my groaning. Oh my God, I cry by day, but thou dost not answer, and by night, but I have no rest. Yet thou art holy. O thou art enthroned upon the praises of Israel, in thee our fathers trusted. They trusted, and thou did deliver them. To thee they cried out, and they were delivered. In thee they trusted, and they were not disappointed. And so at first it's this cry of like, where are you, man? Right? Where are you? What are you doing, God? Why would you freaking allow this 10-year-old girl to go through this? Because it's not right. And yet our forefathers, and yet those who come before trusted you, because you are holy, you are righteous, you are God, and in you they put their faith, and in you they put their trust, and they weren't disappointed. And so though I feel anger, and though I'm frustrated, and though I'm questioning why, I will put my trust in you, because you are God and you alone are deserving of my praise. And so to you, I'm going to give my all. Mm-hmm. And to you, I'm going to trust that I'm going to feel peace, and I'm going to feel comfort, and I'm going to feel rest. And you're going to make it right. You're going to make it right. You got to make it right, because vengeance is yours. You freaking said it. So, hashtag justice for Victoria, because I got nothing, man, you know? And that's what we have to hang our hat on. That's what we have to come back to. And so we are human beings. We're fallible, and we're all processing it and mourning differently. But if we can come back to that, there's peace in that. Mm-hmm. You know, there's comfort in knowing that God wins, and this will not go, whether unpunished in earthly terms, or because, man, you still pray that those human beings, those souls, find Jesus.
Yeah.
That's what we have to do. Mm. God, it sucks to say that, because, you know, as a parent, you just want you're hoping all the worst, you know?
You want justice.
You want it so bad. And maybe it'll come in this world, because there are still earthly consequences. But it wouldn't be right to go, man, those people deserve to burn in hell forever. Because we all do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
585. I'm going to jump off of my. No. I apologize. God.
Got me crying over here.
What a baby.
I know. Thanks for holding. Good morning.
Good morning. You just took every word out of my mouth.
Okay.
The Holy Spirit is amazing.
He is. He really is.
The Holy Spirit is so amazing. And every word he said, going back to the scriptures, going back to the word, going back to Jesus. When we take our eyes off of Jesus, we lose our focus.
We all do, man, you know?
And it's hard. It's just like you guys said, it's so hard. And he took the words out of my mouth. Hebrews 10:3, I believe. Romans 12:9, I believe. The Lord will do his work.
Yeah.
And as Christians, we got to fight to find forgiveness in our hearts. And that's the thing. I think it's a fight because our flesh wants to retaliate.
Yeah.
And we have to fight to find forgiveness because Jesus fought for us to have everlasting life. Thank you for sharing the gospel.
Yeah, man.
Thank you, brother.
We thank you for helping doing God's work of loving God first and then loving one another. Thank you guys so much. You guys are amazing people. The Lord is working through you guys each and every day. I don't know if you guys know that, but he is.
Thank you, brother.
God bless you, man. Thank you.
Yeah. Have a good day, boy.
You too. Yeah. Romans 12:9, he said, "Let love be genuine and abhor what is evil, hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality." And then it continues, man. "Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, so far as it depends upon you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourself, but leave it to the wrath of God. For it is written, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay,' says the Lord." Man, it's hard, man, because it says in the contrary, if your enemy's hungry, feed him. Mm-hmm. Let's go feed those people.
That's the thing. That's the big playmaker with the gospel, I believe, because Jesus wasn't the first to say, essentially, the golden rule. He wasn't the first philosopher that came around and said, treat others the way you want to be treated.
Right.
But he was the first that he took it a step further, and he said, love your enemies.
Yeah.
And what that takes is a complete refocus. And that's the heart, I think, of the gospel, is that you are not God. You're not God of your own life.
Right.
That's where the whole trick of it is. That's the hardest thing. That's like every Christian struggles with that every moment and every decision. Every person struggles with that every moment and every decision. The difference being the Christian has a faith in Christ's standard that said, you're not God. Treat others like they're better than you.
Gosh,
treat your enemies, like they're better than you. That's the trick of it. And in this situation, nobody's trying to justify what these people did. But I think as Christians, we can take this and we can apply our faith to this situation and then like make an impact on the community around us.
Yeah.
By not treating ourselves like God, but treating others and even our enemies better than us.
Man, Romans 12 ends with, "Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good."
Yeah.
That's hard, man. Yeah. And a lot of us, I think, are on the cusp, on the edge of being overcome by evil because what happened was evil.
Yeah, it was
horrific, tragic, disgusting, vile evil. Mm-hmm. But we can't be overcome by that.
No, but we can respond with a gospel mentality.
Amen.
To where we try to make an impact in our community by showing love to others, showing love to our enemies. Think of the life of the children around you. Think of those lives. Think of the impact on the kids when you use your life to treat others more highly than you treat yourself. Man. Think of that.
585 Live. Text into the show. You can call us at 338-3700. We're talking about it this morning.
Did we just talk this whole hour?
We didn't take a break at all.
Gosh.
We're talking about the death of 10-year-old Victoria Martins. Again, she's got a birthday party. We're going to do the birthday party tomorrow between 2 and 8 p.m. Mariposa Basin Park, 4900 Kachina Street Northwest. You come down. Just coming together as a community. We're talking about it. We're loving on each other. You have questions, feel free. We're just discussing it all morning long. We'll be back.
It's not something you usually see at this apartment complex.
It's pretty quiet for the most part.
But not this morning. So many police officers and other investigators here, all because a little girl who just turned 10 years old yesterday was the victim of a horrific murder.
It's a kid. It's always sad to see, you know, that a kid has to pass.
Multiple sources tell Action 7 News that child had been mutilated. We're told this was the kind of crime that took a toll on even the most seasoned first responders. The first police officers and EMTs
EMTs who arrived described this as the worst call they've ever taken, the worst crime scene they've ever seen, something both they and the people living in this neighborhood are really struggling to comprehend.
The Morning Invasion with Dax, Steve-O, and Teo.
Developing now, one of the most disturbing and upsetting stories that we've covered in a long time.
It's a horrific crime in Northwest Albuquerque, and it happened yesterday. And we want to warn you, the details are very graphic.
Friends, family, and neighbors are struggling to understand what and why this happened. A tragic scene police sources describe as gruesome.
What happened to this little girl? It's horrific.
She was always laughing and smiling. Everybody loved her.
If there's one thing people will remember about 10-year-old Victoria Martins, it was her smile.
Oh, she loved everything. And we took them to Hamas. Oh, my God, we played in the creek. And she walked across the logs. She loved a picnic.
Nina Willenberg says the little girl was full of life and happiness.
It's just so very, very hard. It's just such a difficult thing.
Victoria's babysitter, Jessica Quintana, was in the crowd on Thursday night.
I don't even believe it either. She's...
Only a kid herself. Quintana was with Victoria just days before she died, talking about the big new school year as a 10-year-old.
Just to think about those little ones who trying to understand what's gone on. Mm-hmm. It's hard to think about. This morning, it's all about Victoria Martins, and we just want to discuss what's going on. Gosh, man, it's just...
I know. Yeah.
585 Live. You can text in or you can call us.
338-3700. RG says, praying that the parents find God in their life and repent so God wins another salvation. Somebody else said, hey guys, thanks for having this talk in a positive and uplifting way. This has been super difficult to understand, and I feel like the local news is failing us as citizens. Why does the news feel it's their job to bombard the public with details about horrific crimes occurring in our neighborhood? I think it's a disservice to release deep details of the incident. There's a reason why we entrust our first responders to be responsible for collection of evidence, crime scene analysis, and report writing. When one of the local news sources released the reports from first responders, I was in shock because, like Steve-O said this morning, if we sit and dive deep into the tragedy, our minds become consumed with evil thoughts. At least I know that's what has been happening to me. I'm glad you guys are taking a very loving human approach to this and not trying to just gain ratings by being leaking essentially private details about the crime. We need to remember these are humans, not just crime entertainment. Thank you for restoring my hope in media reporting, guys. Well, thanks. It is horrific, and I don't recommend going into the details because somehow I don't normally watch the news, and I've been like shocked because a friend of ours, but somebody we met, you know, in the news, she was doing a Facebook Live segment from the apartment complex, and that's how I first heard some of the stuff, and then she started getting into the details, and I was just like. I was like in this weird rabbit hole where I couldn't stop. And unfortunately it was just because that, I mean, it took me to a dark, dark place, man. You know, hearing about the mother and boyfriend and cousin of this 10-year-old girl. And yeah, we've been talking all morning long. We had a friend try and call in a couple times. So I promise we'd.
My old job wife?
Yeah.
It's your old job wife.
I promise.
Buck, Aaron. Burnett. Aaron Buck.
What's somebody did chime in real quick as we Air get Buck, Buck to our boy Buck. Somebody was asking, multiple people actually, asking what even happened because we haven't been talking about it. Hey, Aaron.
Good morning.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Yeah. Sad.
Hey, before we dive in, we keep having people asking because not everybody knows the news, so I wanted to very quickly just bring people up to date that... Wednesday, there was an Albuquerque girl, 10 years old, just had her 10th birthday. She was drugged. She was raped. She was brutally murdered by her own mom, her mom's boyfriend, and the cousin. All three of them are the suspects. They're in custody, of course. The cousin blames or the mom's boyfriend blames the cousin. It's we don't know all the details, but all three of them are in custody, and they will not be getting out anytime soon, likely because the bond is set at $1 million cash. Cash-only bond. So, anyways, to keep people, bring people up to speed. Welcome to the show, Aaron.
Yeah. Yeah, man, I had a bad day yesterday.
Dude.
Yeah, I think a lot of us did.
Yeah, I was like, I was trying to work, and I had a friend from church that I was working with, and he's like, "Are you okay, man?" And I was like, "I'm pretty far from okay."
So,
it was a rough day yesterday, and you know, I posted something on Facebook, and I didn't, you know, I was just kind of driving around all day, and I didn't really know, like, what to think or say or anything, but I kind of just, you know, decided to write a little bit, and I think the conclusion that I came to is that, a couple of conclusions, is that, you know, I, as Teo, I think I heard you mention this before, you know, we tend to want to take the place of God and do his job for him. And in situations like this, I think that's my initial reaction, is that, you know, I can go ahead and step in for you and deliver justice, you know, and that's not right.
Right.
The other thing that came up for me, which was, which was kind of tough, was, you know, this is about sin. And, you know, I don't want to say I could easily be these people, but my sin is just as bad as theirs.
Yeah.
And that's a tough pill to swallow.
Yeah. Yeah. We were discussing it this morning, and we were talking about addiction and you know, the two things that we can really discuss and to hopefully make some sort of change from this is that maybe there is somebody out there listening right now, or maybe somebody hasn't ever tried drugs before, you know, to get them to not ever go down that path, or maybe they're in that right now. And this is the wake-up call. This is that moment where it's time to make the call to somebody. It's time to, whether it's to go to rehab or just take that first step, or it's a wake-up call for us parents as well, to be on alert and to make sure if we got that feeling in our guts like something isn't right, we need to act on that. You know, those are two things we've kind of been discussing this morning that can hopefully make change in our community, in our city, you know?
Yeah. I mean, you know, I obviously have a history of this, and, you know, the crystal methamphetamine is such a bad drug. I mean, all drugs are bad, but, I mean, you know, this meth in general is so bad, and the things that they use to make it, I mean, it makes people go crazy, like literally. Like, I've seen absolutely normal, highly functioning people, you know, lose their faculties and their mental capabilities, and it does this. And you're right, you're absolutely right. I mean, this is it's kind of at this point becoming an epidemic in, you know, in our state, in our country. I mean, you guys always do your whiskey tangos, and you read these stories, you know, and these people that are high on crystal meth and some of the things they do, you know, I remember a story, I don't know how many years ago it was, but there was a guy traveling through New Mexico, and he believed while he was, you know, high on crystal meth, that his son was the devil. And he murdered his son in a really, really violent way.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you're absolutely right. It should be a wake up. You know, it just sucks, man. This whole thing is just, this is so awful. You know, this is, it's just bad. So, yeah, I appreciate what you guys were, you know, when you were talking about, Steve-O, you were kind of reading a little bit, and, you know, I mean, it's just a good reminder of, to know that, you know, God's in charge and he's got this. And, you know, even though we think we might have the answer to what needs to be done or should be done, we're not God.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So,
love you, man.
You too. Talk to you later.
All right. Aaron Buck Burnett. I love that man.
585 Live. Feel free to text us, or you can call into the show, 338-3700. Just a reminder, there's a birthday party tomorrow for Victoria, because was it Wednesday? Was that her birthday?
I believe her birthday was Tuesday. They were going to celebrate it Wednesday.
And everything happened Tuesday.
Yeah.
On
like
her
overnight.
Birthday.
Overnight, yeah.
On her birthday, this happened to this beautiful 10-year-old little girl, this princess.
Just looking at her photo wrecks me. Our boy Myers, he posted her photo, and it just, I mean, I couldn't stop going back and looking at it. And, man, we've talked a lot. A lot of Starmie members chiming in throughout the morning. That's basically what today's show is going to be. We don't want it to be overly heavy. We hope and pray that God uses this as a means to help cope, to help with the grieving process. Because we don't realize, obviously, this community is shocked, is shaken. We got an email this morning just a little bit ago saying, "Good morning, guys. Just wanted to say thank you for the morning prayers. I work at the 911 center that received the call for the little girl. And it has been an emotional roller coaster here. When the station intro first came on, I almost turned the radio off. I've been praying and trying to understand how something so evil can happen to a child. I'm glad I left the radio on. Listening to you guys brought a little comfort back into my day. I still don't understand it and probably never will, but that's God. It's God's will. Thank you guys for doing what you do. You bring religious comfort to a terrible situation.
Thank you for what you do.
Oh, yeah, man. We got a lot of questions, too. The tragedy has affected so many people. Starmie member said, so many hearts are hurting right now. Maybe you've answered this already, but can you touch on what to do with our anger? Along with being devastated, I am spooky angry right now. These poor children that suffer on a daily basis deserve so much better. And I think we all are. I think that was the big conundrum as Christians, is processing it. There was a fire inside me, man, like I haven't felt in maybe ever. I don't know. I had thoughts and daydreams of just, man, like a lot of us, especially parents, because you think about what's done and it's like, man, death penalty. I'm like, forget death penalty. I had a very good friend yesterday give out their thoughts, and it was, you know, I don't want them to die. I want to cut off their feet, and I want them to live for it, and I want to do this. And I was just like, oh my gosh, you know, like, it was torturous, you know, the things that come into our brain about what we want to do to these human beings. But it's also not right, biblically speaking, you know, what we've been talking about this morning. Romans 12, the marks of a genuine Christian, how we handle this. And Buck just mentioned, you know, what God said, never avenge yourselves, leave it to the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. And this is what Teo was pointing to. The gospel, the great difference between the gospel, between Christianity and literally every other, quote, religion out there is that it's not just the golden rule of, you know, do unto others as you want them to do to you. Just, you know, treat others the way you want to be treated. Because I'm pretty sure that little girl probably treated her mother with love and respect, and she seemed like this beautiful little girl. And obviously that wasn't enough. To the contrary, it says, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. For by doing so, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. And as I mentioned earlier, a lot of us are on the brink of being overcome by that hate, that anger, that spooky anger, as the Starmie member just referenced it, because we're all processing it and dealing with it. But Scripture clearly says, in our anger, do not sin. So we're going to be angry. I'm fuming, man. It's disgusting. Mm-hmm. It's vile. But in our anger, we can't sin, and we somehow have to overcome evil by doing good. So what can we be doing in this moment? Well, there have been vigils already, not even just in our city, but in Las Vegas, New Mexico, they already had a vigil. There's a birthday party tomorrow. I mean, you never know what this can do. Teo, you've been talking a lot about like drug addiction and what we can do. How can we get involved there? How can we enact change? What can we do? It's obviously got an entire community talking about the very real problem in our city of methamphetamine.
One of the big pitfalls of In my experience, I'm not trying to blanket statement every Christian out there, but one of my biggest pitfalls has always been when a very grotesque evil happens. I real quick just want to blame it on the devil.
Yeah.
But what that's a cop out.
Yeah.
In a lot of ways, not saying that evil's not real, not saying the devil's not real. I'm just saying we all in any situation we blame shift, and we do that because we are trying at our heart we are scared and we're trying to keep ourselves safe.
Right.
Psychologically, that's what you're doing. You're blame shifting. This was that person's fault, and on the inside you're saying, and I don't have any part of it. You know, you're trying to check out. You're copping out of the situation. And as a Christian, when you have the knowledge of the realm of evil and, you know, the great perpetrator, you're instantly just going to want to blame him and walk away from the situation and be like, I'm not any part of that. So I'm a Christian. I'm born again. Jesus is my Savior. I'm out. Not the way to handle it. I think that's part of the reason why nothing gets accomplished, you know, practically. Because as the church, we check out. We say it's the devil's fault and we're out. But we can use this situation to not point the finger at the devil, but to really examine ourselves and say, you know what? You know, like, honestly, we are all capable of the most evil things. And that's why Jesus died on the cross and rose from the dead, because it's a new way of life.
Yeah.
And we can take this and we can say, hey, this is why you don't need to do drugs, friend. You know, like, this obviously isn't you, but this could lead here.
Yeah.
Do you see this path that you're on? These people were just further down the path.
Yeah.
We've had testimony after testimony after testimony all morning from former meth addicts and former drug addicts who say, you can't control yourself when you're influenced. I mean, you are putting chemicals into your brain, and your brain it's full of synapses and charges, and when you change those chemicals up, it misfires.
And everybody's different. Everybody's brain
reacts differently.
That's why you see some people do horrific things.
And then, like our other friend that struggled with this in his past said, when this lady comes out of this, when she comes down from that high, what is she going to do when she realizes what she's done?
Right.
This is not. It's ironic to me because we use these methods of escape because we're sick of our world and we're sick of how broken and evil it is. But when you go too far in your escape, you become that evil.
Yeah.
You become that brokenness to the fullest extent.
Mm-hmm.
And that should be a huge flag for all of us. That should be a warning sign. It's like, okay, I'm trying to check out of this, but I am just in essence becoming what I'm trying to get away from.
Right.
It's like it's the fastest way to do it. It's not the way to get away from it. It's the fastest way to get into it.
Yeah.
And that's we have to realize that. That's why I truly believe the gospel sticks out. It's a different way of life. It's not only separating it from different religions, from every other religion, it separates it from the core of our humanity. I think that's why it's so hard to grapple with, because even as a Christian, every moment, every decision I make, I don't want to put others before myself. I don't want to put God first.
Yeah.
I want to put me first. These people put themselves first.
Yeah.
Terrible consequences. I put myself first, and, you know, I don't take care of some bill that I should have taken care of because I should have been thinking of the family, and instead I buy something stupid. But at the bottom of it, it's putting yourself first.
Yeah,
and that's the biggest separation between humanity and then the gospel of Christ.
Right.
That's the line right there.
Yep.
That's where the change comes in, because then it's like you put others first and you love your enemies as yourself. Jesus said that of all the commandments, the greatest one was this, is you love the Lord with all your heart, strength, mind, soul, everything about you, and then you love your neighbor as yourself.
Yeah.
That's the biggest. It's huge.
Yeah.
It's huge. It's huge. It's huge. Huge. And that's really what puts it apart from everything else. And we can use this situation as a teachable moment to make practical change and say, hey, if you're out there dealing with this, I'm not trying to shame you. I'm not saying you're as bad as these people. I'm not even comparing you. I'm just saying, look what happened.
Yeah.
Is this where you want to go? You know?
Yeah.
Man. Dude, powerful stuff. Mm. It's so hard because that commandment, you know,
love others as I have loved you. Christ shed his blood and died for us. That was the love he showed us. He willingly sacrificed himself, I mean, literally, for us. And that's the love we're to show other people, that self-sacrificing, no matter what, at great cost love. And it's sometimes feels near impossible when it's dealing with situations like this. But man, to take it back to the drugs, think about this. All the way, you know, in Leviticus, Deuteronomy, like dating back, right, to Israel and God's commands them, it's like, do not engage in sorcery, right? Do not engage in this. And we're not talking freaking Harry Potter here. That word, right, you take it back to the original, and the word is, well, at least if you take it to the Greek in when Paul uses it, that the word for sorcery in Galatians. Pharmakei, which is where we get pharmaceuticals from, because that's what they were doing. They were taking these hallucinogens, right, and getting all cray cray in the brain. And of course, when you're under that influence, we had a friend this morning in the last hour who was a meth addict who got clean by the grace of God, who is now a servant of Jesus and just an amazing dude. But he was talking about the very real possibility that this mom, when she comes out of this haze, could probably try and kill herself. Because she doesn't realize what she has done.
Yeah.
Because when you're on that kind of, man, chemical, it can absolutely change you to do crazy, crazy things.
Mm-hmm. It takes away your emotion. It takes away your feelings. You know, there's story after story after story that you could read about on the internet that of moms, wives, husbands, a brother who have been on this drug that end up not having any more emotion.
Yeah.
It just completely takes it away, and they end up doing things like killing somebody.
On the live line, somebody just chimed in from Colorado. What up, Starmy? Live line, Colorado. Meth is horrible. Some friends of ours own a hostel. A man on meth came in and stabbed one of them, their friends 15 times, and three grown men could not stop him. One of the guests started praying and pleading for him to stop in Jesus' name, and he finally stopped. Wow. Because I just imagine, I mean, you're out of your mind. You're out of your mind. All for that escape, because that's it. You want to escape, whether it's the problems,
whatever
the pain stresses,
is that you have.
Right, that you're trying to suppress through that. Man.
338-3700, good morning.
Hey, this is Eugene.
Hi, hey, Eugene.
Hey, I heard someone asking earlier this morning, and I haven't heard all the shows, so I don't know if someone else answered this or not. But people are talking about, you know, like, where is God in this kind of situation? And it just made me think of Victor Marx. I was just watching the Victor Marx story the other day, and there's a point in there where he's talking about all the torture, physical and mental, that he went through as a child. And that he grew up, he just kind of came up with the assumption that, you know, God wasn't there to help me because God must have been busy or something like that. But in his adult years, you know, all of this coming back to him, he's having to go through therapy to get through it. And the therapist was like, you know, have you ever actually asked God where he was in this situation? And, you know, at first I was like, well, no, obviously he was busy. I don't need to ask him. The answer is obvious. But eventually, you know, he actually did go and ask God, you know, where were you in this situation? And God showed him that in these situations when he was being beaten in such a way that it was like, I think it was his stepfather was whipping him with a belt, forcing him to stretch out, and his stepfather would wait until his body relaxed to hit him again, wait until his body relaxed to hit him again, and did this repeatedly. And Jesus showed him that in these situations, where he was taking the worst of the beating, taking the worst of the pain, and that everything that Victor Marx went through was the leftovers. It's like that... I think most people have heard of that, thing, the footsteps in sand, you know, where we look back at our life and we see two pairs of footsteps everywhere we ever were because Jesus has always been with us. And then we look at the places when our life was the hardest and there's only one set of footprints. And so we're like, well, where were you? And Jesus says, you know, I carried you. And
thank you, Eugene, for calling.
Yeah, dude,
in,
thanks
buddy.
For calling. Appreciate your
Hang
thoughts,
Hang in there, man.
Man.
Hang in there, okay?
Yeah.
What? 585 Live.
Hey, I want to say something real quick because I don't know. We just got this posted to our Facebook page at Star 88FM, and it's a GoFundMe to help celebrate Victoria. And I don't know if Ralph, the guy who started this, is listening, but there's a $15,000 goal, and it doesn't really say what the money is going towards. Right? Yeah. So, like, it says, you know, we want to celebrate, we're celebrating her 10th birthday. We know there's a birthday party going on here. Her life was tragically cut short. We're all affected. And in our grief, sometimes we do, you know, I know when heartstrings are tugged, we're like, dude, let's give money. But reading this, it could be totally legit. But they're raising $15,000 to help celebrate her birthday in a way that she deserves. Surrounded by a community that loves her and those that were blessed to know her, help spread the word. But I don't see anywhere where it says
what
this money is going towards.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Because in these times of tragedy,
you have to be very careful with these GoFundMes because that's when you get... That's when the evil perks its head up again.
I'm not saying Ralph's evil, but
no,
I am saying
no. This could be totally legit, but we have to be very careful what we share because a lot of people use these situations to steal money.
Scripture tells us to, you know, we talked about this morning. We got to be wise as serpents, innocent as doves, right? Yeah. There's got to be wisdom because emotionally you're like, yeah, man, I'm going to give $50 because I want her birthday to be great. You know what? She is with Jesus. Like, she is celebrating in the ultimate way possible. We know that she went to the church with friends of ours, and she was friends with our friend's daughter, and we know that she loved the Lord. We know that this girl is wrapped up in the loving arms of Jesus. We've had multiple Starmie members say, man, it sounds horrible to say, and like almost a cop-out to be like, well, maybe this was God bringing her home because she was in a horrible situation. Now, I don't necessarily believe it's, quote, God's will. Oh, this was the will of God. But God can take those tragedies and those moments and use them for his glory. That doesn't mean that he willed this little girl to be brutally freaking murdered. But all that to say, this...
Yeah, I totally
you
got to
be
I saw
vigilant.
That yes.
You got to be vigilant because
maybe
we don't know.
Maybe the money is raised for the funeral costs. Or
maybe
the young boy. She had a brother.
Yeah,
we don't know the details on the father and the family.
If you guys know Ralph, tell him to put more information up on that thing if it's legit.
Because they're raising $15,000, and that's just seriously.
Yeah, an ultimate birthday party. Well,
what does that mean?
We're having a birthday party where we're coming together. It doesn't make sense.
Talking about the very real fact that meth addiction is just rampant in our community. Is it going towards a center for, you know, something like that? That'd be a different thing, but this doesn't seem like that.
Yeah. All right, real quick, we'll take one more call. We have to go to break. Good morning. You there?
Hello.
All right, thank you.
Okay.
All right, we're going to take a break. We're talking about 10-year-old Victoria Martins this morning. Again, there is a birthday party tomorrow between 2 and 8 p.m.
This one's saying Sunday between 2 and 8
p.m. Yeah, is it tomorrow or is it Sunday?
Well, there might be multiple parties. Okay. I don't know. This is the one that I found. Someone tagged me on Facebook, but it was Saturday, 2 to 8. Is it at Mariposa, the one that you're talking about?
Doesn't say. It says, I'm looking at the invite, and unless it's a different one, it's Sunday, 2 to 8 p.m. That's what it's saying. A lot of people are saying the same thing. The last Starmie member said exactly what I feel. Glad you talked about it. Spooky anger towards the people who did this.
I apologize. It's Sunday. Gosh darn it, I wrote it down wrong.
Okay.
It was early. I'm sorry.
No, dude. And this is, I mean, we're all wiping tears and trying to get through the day. This is why we didn't talk about it yesterday. We tried to.
Well,
but
and all the
man.
Information was still coming out. Yeah, so there was still a lot of questions.
Yeah, really Sunday. Difficult to talk
okay,
about.
Okay, the family stated clearly in their Facebook page, there is no valid GoFundMe project set up at this time.
Okay, so I'm going to delete that from our Facebook page because... Yeah, it's so easy, and thank you to the person who shared it. I'm sure trying to be genuine.
Be really careful.
But we've got to be vigilant, guys.
Yeah, be vigilant, because just throwing money at a situation is not going to fix it.
We talk about how there is evil in this world, because where is God in this? God is mourning, right? Like, there are so many different forces at work. There's our free will, there's Satan, and there's God. And man, when you see these GoFundMe things shoot up, as we talk about trying to outdo one another in love, mm-hmm. and not overcoming...
Well, we want to help.
Man, yeah.
You know, and for some people, like, that's just a way to help. That's all, and it means well, and, you know, that's...
Yeah, but this birthday party is this Sunday from 2 to 8 p.m. Mariposa Basin Park, 4900 Kachina Street Northwest, this Sunday.
And maybe you want to do something like that, whether it's a birthday party or try and raise funds for something. Think practically about what we can be doing. As Teo keeps saying, we need to enact change. Mm. Something must be done. Drug addiction is very, very real. What could we be doing? How could we be helping? Practically, not just, man, let's bring balloons and flowers and do these, you know. Mm-hmm. I think we need to do more than just that. More than just that.
All right, we'll be back.
Hey, what's going on in the news today?
During a speech in Reno, Nevada, designed to go after Trump, Clinton telling her supporters Trump is embracing a racist movement known as the alternative right.
Donald Trump has built his campaign on prejudice and paranoia.
In New Hampshire, Trump firing back, saying Clinton
paints decent Americans, you, as racist.
Indiana's Governor Mike Pence taking time off the campaign trail today back in his home state after multiple tornadoes hit there.
Encouraging news on the job market. Fewer Americans filed for first-time unemployment benefits.
Big step toward automated highway travel, according to the government, is cars that talk to each other. That way, a robotic master plan of a kind can sort out the vehicles, avoid collisions, and even traffic jams. The experts say there's a problem, though. Such traffic systems will suck up a lot of available radio spectrum for cable TV and super-fast Wi-Fi, internet, and other services.
A crime so awful, so disturbing that police are having a difficult time just talking about it. This morning we are learning much more about the death of a girl who had just turned 10 years old. We too at KOAT7 are struggling with emotions to tell this story, so we do want to warn you that what you are about to hear is very disturbing.
Multiple sources tell Action 7 News that child had been mutilated. We're told this was the kind of crime that took a toll on even the most seasoned first responders.
Details are heartbreaking. We're told a little girl's 10th birthday was just yesterday. Friends and family had big plans to celebrate with her today after school.
I think that she was thinking like she's going to wake up to like a beautiful day, get off early from school, have her birthday. But yeah, today was supposed to be her birthday party around 3.
585 Live, you can text us, 585-5483. Or you can call into the show at 338-3700. Maybe you're listening right now. You're in this place where you just feel alone, you feel lost, you're struggling with an addiction. We're here for you. We really are. Take that step. Hopefully this has been a wake-up call for you to take that next step to get clean. Reach out to somebody, because you don't want to be in that situation where it just gets further down the rabbit hole, and before you know it, something tragic like this happens with the mom, with the cousin, with the boyfriend, and they did something horrific to this little girl.
Dude, I honestly just have to keep... I've kept it up on my screen. Romans 12:21, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Because every time I hear another stupid little news clip with your sappy music in the background, I want to punch a hole through the wall, you know? And so it's like, don't be overcome by evil. We can't allow our emotions to overcome us, because we in turn will do something stupid. Dear friend, out in Houston chimed in. And he said, I heard the news on social media when it broke. And all I can say to everyone back home in Albuquerque is, I am so sorry. It's important right now to not try and solve or figure out the problem, but to just grieve as a community, as friends, as individuals, as Christians. This is a paralyzing evil. People are stunned and don't know what to do. This is a situation where people say, I can't imagine, ... Don't. I can tell you firsthand, don't even try. Don't go to those depths. It's not good for you individually, and it's not helpful in any way. It will only fan the flames of demanding justice from the three individuals responsible, from the community, from the world, and even from God. Instead, take the time to look at your friends and loved ones and tell them how much you love them. Tell them how much they mean to you. If you want to do something small and nice for someone. I'm not saying don't do anything bigger, but really take the time to understand how much we impact each other's lives for the better. I wish I could say things like this will never happen again, but we both know that that will never be the case. It's infuriating. It's confounding. It's a moment in need of mercy, grace, redemption, and you. Great words, Paul. Love you, man. I love you. Mm-hmm. And it is true, because immediately we ask, like, the whys. I loved his words, because it is true. We do need to slow it down. I got into the details, into the rabbit hole, you know. Thanks, news outlets, for being overly graphic. And because of that, like, the more there were updates, the more I read, I just wanted to know. But it wasn't good. And it did take me to dark places. I hung out with a good friend last night, loves the Lord, an amazing father, amazing husband, and just a solid believer. And he has daughters. And man, I'll tell you what, like, the thoughts going through our brains, you know.
I'm trying to understand, though, going back to, you know, kind of being hard on the news. If they were to not give us all of the details, what would that look like?
Well,
would we be more confused? Because no. I still have questions.
Yeah, you know, but here's the first line of an article from one news outlet here. That's got everything you need to know. People in Albuquerque came together Thursday night trying to come to grips with an awful tragedy in the community. An Albuquerque girl who had just had her 10th birthday was drugged, raped, and brutally killed, period. The end. What else do we need to know? Like, what else do we need to know in that situation? Because when you start going down that and go, okay, well, they injected her with methamphetamine so they could sexually abuse her, but they wanted to do things to her body, but she obviously wouldn't calm down because she's a 10-year-old little girl.
Yeah.
And they freaking injected her with methamphetamines to try and calm her down so that they could maliciously do things to her. And then sadly, I know the details of how it happened, how she died, you know?
But the thing is, two things, I think. Number one, they're doing it for ratings. Come on, people. And then number two, I think if they wouldn't have disclosed all the details, and I'm going to kind of defend this here.
Somebody would have.
No, not even that. I think everybody would have asked for the details.
Exactly. That's what I was.
So why do we need? Why do we need them?
I don't know. But well, I that's why
doesn't
I
help me.
I wanted to know the details. I wanted to know what happened. You know.
Sometimes when we know the inner workings of these terrible situations, it makes us
justified.
No, not at all. Not at all.
I just mean justified in our anger, right? Like,
no.
I could never.
It relays the gravity of the situation.
Yeah.
The real, horrible, this is what actually happened. This actually happened. This isn't a movie. This isn't some crazy song. This isn't a story, a ghost story that somebody made up. This really, actually, in reality, happened. And that's important. I get it. I appreciate what this person's saying, because they hammer on that stuff.
Yeah.
And maybe that's the issue.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe report the details and then do something else. But it's a news thing that they get the highest ratings from crimes like these.
Yeah.
That's why it's happening.
Yeah. Whoever can get to the details first.
Right.
Whoever can get the scoop first, you know, that's their job.
But right now, it's important to not point fingers. See, that's it all goes back to that blame shifting thing.
Yeah.
Like, that's another thing that's a way of coping.
Yeah.
Well, if the news wouldn't have told me all this stuff, then really at the inside, you wouldn't have to be dealing with your most intimate questions about life and God and good and evil.
Mm.
That's the issue.
And I appreciate what Paul said, and I agree with most of what he said, but at the same time, look at, we're talking about it. We're opening this up as a discussion.
We've never been graphic about it. We don't need to be gruesome about it.
Haven't we been graphic about it?
No, dude.
Because you have given details.
No, I have not.
Yes, you did.
Do you know how she was killed? Do you know how she was killed? Because it's disgusting.
Yeah, I know how she was killed. I read everything.
Yeah.
But you have gone into some pretty graphic details in a way. I'm just saying, which I'm going to say, I want to know. As a person, I want to know what happened.
And you're right, because our curiosity takes over and we want to know.
Yeah.
But we don't need to know.
Maybe we don't need to know.
I don't think we need to know those details. You know, yeah. I'm not blaming the media, because that's literally their job. That's what they're supposed to do, is to report that. I wish I didn't feel that need to know. You know, because you're right. I mean, it's humanity. It's us. It's within. I wanted to know. So the more I'm reading. Are you kidding me? My father was killed when I was 6 years old, and I have the FBI file and his autopsy report, and I still have never read it. Mm-hmm. My wife read it, and she told me, hey, A, B, and C, and this is what you need to know. And that's all I want to know. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't want to hear. You know, like, I don't.
No, I understand.
Because
that.
It yeah. will consume you. It doesn't do anything good. Because there are things that I know about my dad's death that I didn't need to know, that if I go down there, if I start thinking about it, can consume me. And I have to know that, like, it's done. It's over with. There's no going back. Man. Oh.
No, I get it. I understand what you're saying.
But I'll tell you what. Shout out to a Starmy member who chimed in. I'm gonna leave their name out of it. But they said, my heart goes out to this little girl and those who knew her. My heart is torn in half. I was born with fetal alcohol syndrome because of meth and alcohol. I completely understand the reaction to hate. And it was something I struggled with for a very long time. It wasn't until I realized my birth mother was also a victim as well that I was able to forgive her. She was a victim to drugs, to the pimp who hooked her on meth at a very young age. She wasn't in control of her own life. Her situation, she said, my situation is very different from Victoria's because I found an amazing home, but it could have been very similar. We don't know what situation Victoria's mother was in, what she was a slave to. And as much as it pains my heart, I also feel led to show grace and forgiveness to the child's mother. Until we know the truth through due process, we need to be careful to judge someone else's situation. Man, those are beautiful and very difficult words to say.
Yeah.
Because not everybody is saying that, and not everybody can say that. Because people have said, you know, on both sides, we got to look at the very real dangers of drugs, but then people are still pissed. You know, well, hey, are we pawning it off on drugs and excusing this person's actions? Absolutely not. Neither will the justice system. The justice system will not say, well, we're going to put meth on trial because it's meth's fault.
Mm-hmm.
You poor human. No.
You made the choice.
They made a choice. That's why we're talking about it. They made a decision to smoke it, snort it, do whatever they did with it. Mm-hmm. And it cost a 10-year-old girl her life, man. Mm-hmm. And they will be held responsible for it.
Yep.
I think our job as Christians, as we talk about it, as Paul said, as so many different people said, is we just got to pour out love, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I it's funny because I mean Paul in Houston, but I also mean Paul when he wrote Romans.
Yeah.
You know, we can't be overcome by evil.
That's why, you know, the birthday party that they're doing on Sunday and the all the different gatherings that have happened, those are important, I think. We need to show up. We need to show support and love. And if it is a GoFundMe page, which again we're going to say, be very careful with those GoFundMe pages because... Yeah. A lot of people take advantage of these situations,
mm-hmm.
and
as far as we know, the family has said there is no official GoFundMe set up.
Yeah,
and we had a Starmy member tag one on our page, and we were kind of like, "What is this about?"
But there is sometimes, and maybe if somebody did tag us, sometimes people think, "I want to start a GoFundMe page so that I can help." and that's fine.
Yeah.
But yeah, you just be very careful, you know? Mm-hmm. Make sure you know that person or it comes from a legitimate source. We're always going to, before we share something like that, we're going to make sure that we know that it's legit. So
yeah, I ended up deleting it. So to whoever posted it, I apologize, but it didn't, yeah. I didn't know where it came from, and it didn't seem, quote, legit. So,
585 Live, you can text in, or you can call us at 338-3700. We're going to take a break. We'll be back.
Legit. Just legit. Am I right, guys?
Gunga. Beautiful.
Gosh, I'm going to punch Teo in the face today.
Beautiful job this morning.
That's how I process grief!
There's been about three times where I was sitting down during the break and tears just flowing from my eyeballs.
Shout out to our music director, Matthew Lott. Gosh.
I think it's important.
From the news reports to the songs.
These songs can truly express stuff, you know, that a lot of times it's hard to put into words. There's a lot of emotion feeling all across our city. So that's why we have music.
No, dude. Seriously, man, you have beautifully picked out, gosh, just the perfect songs we needed to hear.
Well, the next hour is just metal songs. I'll just play. I wouldn't do that to anyone.
Gosh.
I had that moment, you know, when listeners sometimes will hit us up and they'll be like, what song did you play at 4:32 p.m.
Yeah,
and then we have to find it. So I left work this morning at 5:30 to go to the gas station to get a drink, and I was listening. You put something in, and it played at like 5:33, and it's Fellowship Creative, The Moment.
Mm. And that's computer. I didn't do that.
Well, I was sitting there in my car going, I can't move. It's a beautiful song.
Sometimes music says things that we can't.
Yeah.
So I tried to find songs this morning that I really felt like would not only vocalize all of our feelings, but help us a little bit. So hopefully that's what's going on.
Man.
Yeah, we all mourn different ways. We all grieve differently. And this morning, we just thought we would dedicate the show to you guys and just
the community, man.
Yeah, to talk about what happened. Because, I mean, of course, horrific things happen every single day all around the world. We see it every day. You talk about the news this last break and how, they try to find those news stories to draw you in for ratings. And it's true. They do. Absolutely. Who can get the best headline and who can be on the scene first and get the scoop first? But, man, when it happens in your backyard, I mean, Teo and Steve-O, you guys were saying, this happened so close to you guys.
Yeah. Dude, when I go pick up, because we travel together, you know, some days.
Traveling.
We drive by that complex.
Oddly enough, guys, when we moved apartments, we stopped by that complex.
Wow.
And you know, like I hesitated to even talk about the fact that we live so close to it because I feel like in a lot of these situations, one form of coping is we try to attach ourselves to the situation in some weird, is it braggadocious way? What consequence is it that I live less than a mile from this place? But at the same time, the reason it mattered to me at first is because I honestly was like, okay. And part of the reason I wanted to know the details, going back to the details of the news, part of the reason I'm thankful that they disclosed so much is because I wanted to know if this was a random occurrence by some crazy psycho running around doing this.
Sure.
Because then,
near our homes.
Then I had a direct worry, mm-hmm. concern. Because if that's what was going on, then I was... Essentially, I could possibly be in peril. My wife and my kid and Beans and Panda, could be in peril.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
You know?
Yeah.
But that's why I am thankful that the grisly details were reported.
Yeah.
Because it was an isolated incident with
family.
I pray it would be isolated with this family.
Yeah.
You know? And it wasn't just some random psycho.
Yeah.
Which is terrifying.
That lived, you know, less
than
a
mile decided away. Today's the day, you know.
Yeah, sadly, we've seen that recently.
We see that all the time.
Picking up a little girl and her brother and driving, you know.
Man, this whole thing, it is a fascinating look into how we deal with situations.
Yep.
And that's, I'm so thankful for our show.
I'm proud
thankful
of the story
for our listeners.
Too, man. Yeah.
Our listeners, yeah. You guys are incredible. We have people writing in. I've had people texting me today. It's like, yes, I do still listen, you know, and it's awesome.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
What's incredible is with this community of Starmies, our Starmie family, believers and non-believers alike, you know, it's obviously it's a tragedy that's affected all of us and we're all grieving and coping differently. Mm-hmm. But it's been amazing to see believers chime in and non-believers chime in and say, man, you know what? I'm not a Christian, but I love you guys, and here's what I think. Yeah. You know, and it's
and they want to know our take on it as Christians. How do you guys cope with this? And we've been able to speak to that, to talk about, you know, when tragedy strikes, where was God? Why didn't God step in and save this little girl? Those are questions we all have.
Yeah,
even as Christians, we ask that at times.
And I think that God's word gives a pretty eloquent answer. We've talked about it at length this morning. So if you missed the show, I'm quite proud of today's show, to be honest, because it was one that I was dreading. Ugh. And then I think what happens is God sends his spirit. I mean, we know he lives within us. His Holy Spirit dwells within us. Because today, you know, we've had a few people chiming in going, man, Teo or Steve or Dex, you guys, those words were the exact. And it's like, right on, man. You got to understand that was not me. That was the Holy Spirit dwelling within me, pouring that out. Because there was no freaking way I wanted to do this show today.
Yeah, if you'd notice, most morning shows probably did some type of show that we're doing yesterday. I didn't want to do it.
No,
I didn't want to discuss it at all because it shocked me so much that I wanted to just bury my head in the sand. And I didn't want to discuss it, which isn't okay at all.
Especially as a Christian.
Yeah.
We should not ever bury our heads in the sand.
Yeah. No.
Ever.
No.
And, man, something that I'm really stoked about is, like Steve-O was saying, there are people that listen to our show that aren't Christians. And I really like, and it baffles me that some Christian groups would speak out against what I'm about to say. But I love the fact that people that aren't Christians, we are all trying to figure this out together.
Yeah, because we're all human beings.
I think it's important. I think it's incredible. And I don't understand when people start bringing into the whole, like, fellowship and blah, 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 blah. Yeah. It's like, are we trying to make the most what's supposed to be the most inclusive faith ever,
right.
Super exclusive, and you can't come in?
Yeah.
Because I'm not about that. And I will straight up not be about that. But I want to say this to Starmie, going off what our buddy Paul said. Just practically, today, how are you going to treat your friends and your family and your coworkers and even the people you don't like? How is this going to change how you treat them today?
Yeah.
What are you going to do?
Amen.
Think about it. Like, you're going to work right now. You're already at work. You're at school. If you're at school, you shouldn't be listening to us. But wherever you are, what are you going to do today to just show those people that mean a lot to you, and even the ones that don't mean a lot to you, that they are important and that you love them?
Amen.
What are you going to do?
Yeah.
That's my challenge.
So many people chiming in. man, we've been going, you know, talking about what happened, talking about the different aspects of it. And of course, a lot of it comes back to drugs we keep talking about. We got somebody on the live line chimed in saying, hey guys, September 19th will be my 10-year sober anniversary from meth.
Congratulations.
Incredible. Yes. They said, I was an addict for a few years. I, all caps, never did anything remotely close to what happened, ever. Never even crossed my mind or anything. Those people had to have had something evil in horrible inside them already or something. It's easy to just blame it on the drugs. I don't know what I'm trying to say. Anyway, thank you. That's all they said. I want to say this because we're definitely not blaming it on the drugs, but every single human being is different. And I do think that as they said, those people had to have something evil and horrible inside them already beforehand. They do. All of us do. It's called the flesh. It's called the sin nature. There's so many different ways you can put it, but guess what? We are all wicked, right? The scripture talks about how like ruthless and wicked and vile our heart is, how deceptive our heart is. We all within us have this thing called the sin nature that gives us the potential to do the most crazy things imaginable. I loved that Buck called in earlier because he was like, dude, I don't want to say like, I could never blah, because we're all sinners. And yes, this, I mean, this is disgusting. It is vile. It is sin. Yeah. It is that very thing. But we also need to be very careful in just going, well, obviously it's because they were psychotic, or obviously it was because of this, or obviously because it was, we, all of us in different ways, in different, quote, man, I don't want to say degrees even, because sin is sin. But we need to remember that we're all human beings. Those three people that did those ridiculous, heinous, disgusting things are still human beings. Mm-hmm. Somehow, some way. Because a lot of us can't see it right now, right? Because it's just disgusting and vile, which it is. And justice will come, because we serve a God who says that vengeance is His. And we have a justice system that we pray will, and it sounds like it, meticulously go through all of the evidence and take care of the situation, because there's going to be earthly consequences.
Yeah, look at the change that has happened so far.
Yeah.
That hopefully will happen. We heard from, you know, Mayor Barry yesterday.
Yeah.
And, you know, he talking about bringing back the death penalty.
Yeah.
And this, the court system, too. I mean, I read it all the time on Facebook and the blogs, and people are saying the same things. Our court system is just, well, what's wrong with it? Why are they letting these people that continue to break the law out? I mean, they need to have stiffer punishments.
Mm-hmm.
And no, 3-4 DUIs, or, you know, somebody who it's just crazy to me. I just don't understand it at all. And this cousin who was involved in this horrific murder, she had been in and out of jail. She'd been in jail 18 times. I believe this was her 19th time or 18th time. You know, they had, I believe, 18 mugshots of this woman, and you could see the transformation of what that drug has done to her. I mean, it just, you can see how it's just killing her. Each time that she went to jail, you can see just that different image, and it is so sad.
Man.
But man, what would have happened if she wouldn't have been released?
Yeah.
Can we say that this would have never happened? No, we can't say that, but something needs to change, especially in this state, because it's just ridiculous.
Yeah.
585 Live. Feel free to text into the show. You can call us at 338-3700. There's a birthday party Sunday from 2 to 8 p.m. at Mariposa Basin Park, 4900 Kachina Street Northwest. It's on Sunday. I know earlier this morning I said Saturday, so it's Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to go and show support, I think that's what we should do as a community. We need to come together and just show our love and support and be servants. Like you were saying, Teo, earlier, we put ourselves last. As Christians, we put ourselves last.
We're supposed to.
We're supposed to put ourselves last. We're supposed to serve and love. And that's what we should be doing as a community, coming together. What can we do for this family? There's a little brother who now doesn't have his sister. Mm-hmm. There's a father who doesn't have his daughter. There's an uncle. There's aunts. There's a grandma. Whoever. It's this. Gosh, man. It's.
I had a buddy actually emailed earlier anonymously. And he was the one talking about growing up with fetal alcohol syndrome and how it affected him and all that stuff. So I messaged him. And he said this. He says, Gray sucks sometimes. I was going to call, but this topic sucks. And I can't hold it together very well. Sorry I'm saying sucks so much, Chip. I'm reading a quote. It's hard to talk about. Most people who have dealt with this feel like they can't talk about it because of shame, which is a huge reason why our community doesn't know that this is going on until it's too late. I'm working on not being afraid to share my story, which is why I reached out to you guys. I appreciate you guys not saying my name, and at the same time, this story belongs to God, and I hope it can be an inspiration to others. And that's so true. We don't want to come out into the light when we're involved with stuff, because we are ashamed, and we're afraid other people are going to shame us. Mm-hmm. And guys, if you're a victim of a situation like this, or if you're the person doing the drugs or whatever you're in, please don't let shame be a factor from keeping you from changing in some way.
Yeah.
Because it's just going to get worse.
Yeah.
338-3700. Thank you.
That's so important to any younger people that might be involved in something where they, you know, where somebody is doing something to them and they are trapped
right.
in shame. You know, we invite you out of that.
Yeah, amen.
Hey, go ahead. Thanks for calling.
Hello?
Hi. Go ahead.
No, I was just calling in to let you know. I was a drug user. I grew up in a drug house, and I was abused for a while, but not once in that did I ever take that out on my kids. It's all about personal choice. And, you know, I pray for those people that hurt her, because I have a 14-year-old, an 11-year-old, a 6-year-old, and a 1-year-old, and they mean that God gave those children to my husband and I as beautiful gifts that actually saved our lives, that saved us from everything that we were. And our pastor at the Calvary Rio Rancho, he always talks about how these bad things are happening because we are a perverse nation. We turned our back on God, and we need to turn ourselves back and repent. And I believe that that's why these things are happening. He doesn't want them to happen, but it's not he, because he is such a, because Jesus is such a gentleman, he will not force himself on us, and he will just be this amazing person that will give us the grace when we ask for it, but he's not going to force himself, and he's going to let us do what we want. And as a nation, because we don't care, because we let things happen, because we just get along to stay along or whatever, this happens. And it's our own fault, because we don't stick up for people, because we don't claim the name of Jesus, and we don't do what we're supposed to do. So
Thank you for calling.
I'm very emotional today.
No, no,
we all are. Yeah.
Thanks for calling.
Thank you.
And by the way, you guys are awesome. You make my mornings. Sometimes it's hilarious. And like today, you know, I feel like I cry with you guys. So thanks so much.
Thank you.
We love you.
Dex, you told her you loved her and you hung up on her.
Wow. Well, that's what happens, man. Well,
I feel like you lied there a little.
Some would say it's a privilege for me to hang up on
Will
them.
You know what? I'd
answer
say that.
The phone.
I'll say that.
Oh, I keep waiting for Aaron. Aaron texted and
again?
He had something that, yeah.
Come on, Buck Aaron.
Come on, Buck Aaron.
But he's not calling. I was like trying to.
Here's something crazy. And this is just an interesting thing to me. When we don't want to involve God in a situation in our life or in a decision, we equate ourselves with the best examples of humanity. We say, you know what? I got this. I'm good enough. I'm a good person. We all do this. I'm not pointing any fingers. I am talking about myself. I'm a good person. It's okay. And then reality happens, and we have to realize that the real reason that we're all equal is because we're all bad people.
Right.
We're all not good people. That's the true equation with humanity, is that we are truly all broken. It's funny to me how when we don't want to include God in a situation, it's because we're all good enough. But then when it's real reality, it's actually because we're all bad enough. You know?
Yeah. No, full on, man.
Buck Aaron.
Hey.
Hey, buddy.
These are the days that I miss being on radio. Like, I mean, these are hard days, but these are the days that make me miss being on radio.
I miss you, man.
I miss you.
I was going to come in this morning, but I have too much crap to do today.
Yeah.
Well, you know, one of the things you guys were just talking about, I mean, I know we're on a slight delay, but, you know, you're talking about guilt and shame. And, you know, I just want to kind of put it out there and remind people, you know, if you've never heard it this way, you know, guilt is about something you do, and shame is about something you are. And it talks about your identity. And that's not who we are. You know, I mean, that's not who we're created to be or who we're meant to be. And, you know, that's really the big difference between guilt and shame. So, I was just, you know, I heard you guys talking about that, and I wanted to, you know, kind of chime in on that. But one of the other things, too, that is unfortunate in a situation like this is you have people out there, you know, before you guys were talking about, you know, why media outlets talk about things the way that they do, you know, and it's for ratings. And unfortunately, there are people out there who are, you know, going to try to capitalize on this for themselves. So, you know, I actually got an email last night from somebody who's friends with that little girl's grandmother. And from what I understand, all these fake GoFundMe sites are popping up.
Yep.
Yeah,
we just had to delete one from our Facebook page.
Yeah. Yeah, so, you know, it sucks, man. It stinks that people would do something like that and try to use the situation like this to capitalize on it, but people do, which is awful in its own sense. So,
yeah.
Yeah, but you guys did a really good job this morning. I mean, I knew today was going to be a hard show for you guys, and, you know, I think you did a really good job.
Thanks, man.
Appreciate you, bud.
You need to come in, man. Quit being so busy. Quit being so busy.
He's building legacy.
I don't care.
That's true.
You know what? Honestly, man, I was totally going to come in this morning, and something got dumped on me like right at the very end, so I had to go take care of it. But I've been listening all morning, and you guys did a really good job this morning. You know, I was listening to other radio stations, just kind of bouncing back and forth, seeing who was going to be talking about this. And, you know, I think for radio stations, especially local radio stations, you know, it's really important to be in touch with the community. I mean, especially around something like this. So, you know, hats off to you guys. You did a great job.
Thanks, man. Thanks, man.
Yep.
Love you.
Bye, Aaron Buck.
Love you. Bye.
I love that, too.
Old co-host. My old job wife.
Mm.
Yep. And that's the thing. I mean, throughout the years, Buck and I, you know, we did the show for 13 years together. And we've been through a lot of tragedies together, and we've shared that. And man, those are the shows that I'll never forget. You know, the shows that we came together and we reached out to the community, and you know, that's what this is all about.
Yeah,
that's what we're here to serve. We're here for you guys.
Yeah, we're just three guys trying to figure it out. It's just we have a microphone in front of us.
Yeah. Yep. 338-3700. One more. Okay.
One more call.
One more, and then we'll go to break.
Yeah, just one more. Yeah.
Good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Hey, man.
What's up? So I wanted to kind of share like a small story, because for those non-believers that may be listening or something that has that question, you know, how can there be a God when all this stuff is going on? I don't know if you guys seen it, but there's a video going around on Facebook that has a very good message of this guy is getting his haircut. He's in a barber shop, and while he's getting his haircut, he's reading the Bible. And the barber notices the Bible. So when the haircut is done and he's paying for it, the barber tells the guy and goes, "How can you believe that there's a God? There is no God. Look at all this, you know, don't you watch the news, all the negativity, and, you know, how can you believe that there's a God when there's something, all this evil going on?" And the guy is dumbfounded at first, and he didn't know what to say, so he said, "Well, I'll pray for you, brother," and he walks out. Well, when he walks out, he notices there's a guy, he's not homeless, but he has very long, shaggy hair, saggy beard, you know, just not very clean cut. So he brings him in and tells the barber, "There's no such thing as barbers. I don't believe it." He goes, "You idiot, you're looking right at me." He goes, "Yeah, but look at this man. He has no hair, his hair's not cut. There's, you know, look at him. There cannot be any barbers with people around like him." He says, "Of course it's barbers. They just don't come to me." And he says, that's where it is. If more people came to Christ, if more people believed in God, then there would not be all this evil. So, I mean,
yeah. Thank you.
I messed it up, you know, reverbing it, but it hit home with me pretty good. I liked it.
All right, buddy. Thanks for calling in, man. Appreciate you.
Yeah.
We're going to take a quick break. We're not going to answer any more phone calls for about 4 minutes.
Hey! What's going on in the news today?
During a speech in Reno, Nevada, designed to go after Trump, Clinton telling her supporters Trump is embracing a racist movement known as the alternative right.
Donald Trump has built his campaign on prejudice and paranoia.
In New Hampshire, Trump firing back, saying Clinton
paints decent Americans.
You.
as racist.
Indiana's Governor Mike Pence taking time off the campaign trail today back in his home state after multiple tornadoes hit there.
Encouraging news on the job market. Fewer Americans filed for first-time unemployment benefits.
Big step toward automated highway travel, according to the government, is cars that talk to each other. That way, a robotic master plan of a kind can sort out the vehicles, avoid collisions, and even traffic jams. The experts say there's a problem, though. Such traffic systems will suck up a lot of available radio spectrum for cable TV and super-fast Wi-Fi, internet, and other services.
An emotional morning as family and neighbors woke up to news no one wants to hear. Minister Laura Bobbs says family members called her here saying her 10-year-old goddaughter was killed.
She turned 10 yesterday and we were going to celebrate her birthday today after school.
She planned to see the little girl after school and take her for mani-pedis. Bobbs recalled their last phone call last night.
And she says, Auntie? And I said, yeah. She said, I'm turning 10, so don't buy me no toys.
Police aren't releasing details or the girl's name until they notify all of her family, but friends describe her as happy and caring, a fun-loving 10-year-old who just started the fourth grade at Petroglyph Elementary School.
Oh, Jesus.
Bob's choked up thinking about the young girl who should have been here with them celebrating.
She loved people. She loved life.
A life taken much too soon.
God!
Okay. Gosh, just praying for them, praying for that godmother. Gosh, man. We're talking about Victoria Martins today and the tragic death. Most of us, we're in shock. We can't wrap our heads around this situation.
Yeah.
So we've been talking about it, discussing it this morning. Starmie's been sending in some amazing stuff. We've heard from addicts who have been affected by meth for years, telling their stories. And it's hard, man. This is so hard when something like this happens. It's so close to home.
Yeah.
We want the answers, but sometimes we don't have them.
Well, speaking of that, I have them all, so I wanted to give you them right now.
I can't wait.
Oh. I'm just kidding.
I need them.
Before we go, because we're almost out of show, can you believe this? Our show's almost done, and this entire show has been dedicated to Victoria. It's been a great time of hanging with the Starmie and all of us being able to vocalize our thoughts, our feelings, getting through the grieving process, how we handle different things. A lot of us are parents. We have children who are confused, who don't understand, and before we go, I wanted to share this. This was something written by Tim Clinton. Back when the tragic shooting at Sandy Hook took place. He is the president of the nearly 50,000-member American Association of Christian Counselors, the largest and most diverse Christian counseling association in the entire world. He's a professor of counseling and pastoral care. He's the executive director of the Center for Counseling and Family Studies at Liberty University. Homie's got street cred, dog. Mm. That's what I'm trying to say. Mm. He wrote this... because in times of trauma, we ask a lot of questions. And trauma, as he says, is best understood as any event that shatters our sense of safety. Immediately, one can become hypervigilant, overtly sensitive, and set on emotional alert. Fear rules, especially in children. A 10-year-old girl was murdered in our community, and we need to be careful in how we not only handle and process our grief, but the answers we are giving our children, because even in times where we think we are helping them, we could actually be hurting or hindering them. Because we as Christians, we want to have like the answer. We got to now. And theologically, that can actually destroy somebody if they hang their hat on the wrong comfort line, you know? Mm-hmm. Because there have been some things that have been thrown out that it's like, well, actually, that's not theologically correct. That's not accurate. I hear what you're saying, and that's a cute sentiment, and it rhymes, but it's wrong, ultimately. So we need to be careful what we hang our hats on in times of this. But children need adults who are attuned to their emotions and tender to their needs. So he's got 6 T's for helping children through trauma. This is for children. He said, togetherness. This is a time where your kids need to have you close. They need to know they're safe. Pull in together as a family. Pray together. Be together. The antidote to trauma is safe, loving relationships. I think that's why our good friends in Reload Love are building playgrounds in war-torn areas, because these children, as we've learned, want to get back to like a sense of normalcy. Mm-hmm. and a playground in the midst of terrorism. It sounds so stupid, right? To some, they're like, psh, playground? And you're going, yeah, dude, think about it for 8 seconds. They build this playground in these children who are out there smiling again, having fun, and it brings them together. It makes them feel safe. And they can get their minds off of it. So we as parents stay in close proximity to them, particularly if they're anxious or afraid. We have many Starmie members chime in saying, man, I slept in my daughter's room last night. I slept in my kid's bed. Mm-hmm. My back hurts, but you know what? Screw it. It's one night and my children need me. Which, by the way, thanks to every Starmie member that has chimed in. It's been
great.
It's been incredible. Touch and tenderness. Touch is an expression of affection that reinforces proximity and closeness. It produces a calming effect. Fear makes our minds race and wander, but tender touch dispels it. Hold a hand, stroke your children's hair, let them sit in your lap, wrap your arms around them, kiss them. Be present emotionally if they're acting out a little bit with anger, rebellion, or defiance. It very well could be a fear response. So be sensitive to their behavior in this time, because children cannot process it like we do.
Yeah.
You know, gosh, we all have kids, and my boys have already asked some pretty grand questions, you know, in the last 24 hours that make you just want to weep because you see the beauty and the innocence of a child. Mm-hmm. Just not understanding yet the horrors of the world that they live in. Mm-hmm. And it can be heartbreaking. Now, here's the thing. Number three, it says to talk because the questions will come. This was for Sandy Hook. So the question, will a shooter come to my school? Why did he hurt those kids? Be present, sensitive. And this, I think, is ginormous. We've touched on this so much this morning. Don't offer pat answers. Engage them in age-appropriate discussion. Contrary to what many of us believe, talk does not perpetuate anxiety. It actually helps to reduce it. Mm-hmm. Avoid graphic details, but do not skirt around the issue. Become a safe place for them to bring their questions. I can't even begin to tell you how this has been instrumental in my relationship with my sons, whether it's through a tragedy, whether it's through talking about the opposite sex, sin, greed, pride, whatever it is going on, if you can be there and available to talk and not get frustrated because they're asking the same child questions over and over, man, they will know that they can always go to you. And so when they are 15 and 18 and 20, you know what I mean, and dealing with life and it's hammering them, guess where they're going to turn, parent? To you, if you offer that to them now. It's so important.
It's good stuff, man.
Yeah, there's a couple more, but I know we're like running short, but I'll get through these quickly. Truth. Fears of the unknown can paralyze us. Anchor their hearts in the truth. Like, not everyone in the world is out to get you. You're safe now. God loves us. God is close to us. Remember, our kids absorb us. Your mood, your thoughts, your actions directly influence theirs. These truths flow through you, mom or dad. You got to share the promises of God's word with your kids. You got to pray for them and you got to pray with them. You got to look for triggers. Someone screaming, a door slamming, a siren. What children experience or see on the news can deeply affect them. Don't let your kids get overdosed with the news stories and the gory details. This leads to nightmares, excessive bouts of crying, deepening fear, and not wanting to attend school. Be attuned to your children. Don't react to their emotions. Respond lovingly. And lastly, and this is vitally important, time. Do not rush or ignore this process, because over the next several days, we are all going to be flooded with information about the tragedy that happened. We got to keep our life as normal as possible. Sameness and routine reinforce the message of safety for your children. Your family's stability over time will help in turn dispel their fears. Kids aren't immune to the darkness and brokenness of our world. We may think that if we ignore the incident, our kids won't know about it or feel the impact of it, but nothing could be further from the truth. Our kids need parents. They need teachers who have influence in their lives to be emotionally present and invested, especially in times of tragedy like this. Man, important stuff today. Mm-hmm. Important stuff.
Very good
important
stuff. Yep.
Oh, guys.
I need to go talk to my kids.
Dude. Remember yesterday afternoon when we were like, I think our community is grieving, and we may need to do this.
Yeah, yeah. We have a text between the three of us, and it was like, we're going to have to talk about it tomorrow.
Oh, man. Yeah. I can't even read my text on the air because the curse words. I'm just kidding.
No, he's not. I went to bed early.
Oh,
you know? Like, yeah. It was such an emotional... Ugh.
Preparing for today's show is difficult, but knowing that the Spirit of God dwelling within us would use it for His glory and would be able to pour out of us, and to be around friends who sharpen each other, who mourn with each other, who love each other, I am very excited to have been able to have been a part of this with you guys. Because, man, yeah.
I almost went home this morning.
I know!
I got worried.
I got here and your car wasn't here, and I was like, oh, good.
Yeah, I was putting together these stupid news montages, and I'm just crying the whole morning, and I'm thinking to myself, how am I going to do the morning show? This is not going to work. But man alive, it somehow did, and that's all God.
Amen. Amen. And that's what it comes back to. It is all the Lord, God using stupid, foolish people like us even to at least be able to honor the life of this 10-year-old girl.
So beautiful. She's such a beautiful little girl, man.
Just, every time I see that
photo, I went and saw, this is how I got into the whole rabbit hole thing yesterday. I went to the mom's Facebook page.
Why?
And I'm scrolling through because I wanted answers. Like, what is going on here? Because on the news, they mentioned the Facebook page of the mom, and I'm sitting there going, wait a second. All right, let me go check this out. So I'm scrolling down, and I'm seeing this mom holding her. This was months ago. Smiling together, doing things together. And again, we don't know the details of what happened with, you know, if this girl had been abused in the past. We don't know. But I saw a mom holding her child, and I saw a smile on her face and her daughter's face. So at one point, that was the mom. But this drug just completely took that away. Mm. And it was so sad, man. And we talked about addiction. And if you're out there listening right now and you're dealing with that, maybe this is that wake-up call for you to take that next step, to reach out to a family member, a friend.
Let it be that wake-up call. Yeah. Three real people murdered a child. This is not... Because one thing that does happen is, since it comes on the news and since you just hear about it through the radio or you see it on Facebook, it makes it a little easier to disassociate with it. Kind of put a small, well, that's not me, that's them. A real person is gone. A real 10-year-old girl. Her life was taken from her by three people who had given their lives over to a series of terrible decisions that just got worse and worse and worse. And so you, listening, you're a real person, and you're going to make real decisions today that have real consequences that affect other real people. What are you going to do?
Yep. All right. Have an amazing weekend. Again, details for that birthday party, if you want to go, be a part of the community, go out and serve and love on everybody and pray. There's a birthday party this Sunday from 2 to 8 p.m. at Mariposa Basin Park. It's 4900 Kachina Street Northwest. Get out there if you can and show your support. And be careful of the GoFundMe pages. There are many, many GoFundMe pages
out
there
that
are just, they're not real. They're scammers. So be careful.
Man.
Have an amazing weekend. We love you guys. We'll see you on Monday.